Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Previously on a very heartfelt Best in Show.
So speaking of follow-ups, there's no better way to follow up. Medical sicknesses, bodies breaking down, it's depression and stuff, than to throw it right in and let everyone know that I got engaged last week.
How did it happen? Did you put the ring in like a champagne or like yogurt or something?
She loves that game Scramble, so I made her a card with the with a scramble puzzle.
Could you guys get married on the air?
Oh, she already agreed to that.
Welcome!
Everybody, that's you, 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 and you. Welcome to Best in Show Radio on HearUsTalk.com. Check us out in the Pow Talk Hear Us Talk Radio room. Call us tonight, all night, 877-744-6405. And just hang out. My name is Keith. Across the table from me is empty tonight. Momentarily, Chris will be with us soon. He's busy yelling at somebody. You guys really want to get crazy tonight? I'm gonna totally make everything insane, and I'm gonna say first, our executive producer is Rob Giggs.
Hey guys, what's going on? This is startling. I'm totally thrown off.
It's insane. And between me and Rob Giggs in a fat guy sandwich is Brian.
Did you just call me fat? Is that what just happened here?
No, you're the sandwich. You're the meat.
Oh, it's so sad.
I called you
sitting
meat.
Across from an empty seat, not having Chris here. It really is disappointing. It's not brightening to my evening at all. I'm actually a little depressed.
Would you like us to put a picture of someone calling you stupid on the other end to make you feel at home?
I sadly am feeling empty inside because there's no one across from me trying to make me feel empty inside.
Well, slightly across from you and to the right of you is a young man I like to call Frederick.
What's up, guys? What's going on? How are you?
Hey, Fred. How are you?
I'm all right.
Yeah. Okay. You really don't sound all right. All right?
I'm all right.
I'm all right.
Actually, today was an all right day, actually. I actually found $20 today,
really?
Floating in the street.
What street?
It was the street where my school... It was the street where my school was on.
That's where I was there today. I lost $20.
And I was out for lunch, and I actually saw... I was like, there's something blowing in the wind. It was a, you know, blustery day.
It wasn't the answer,
it was
my
like,
friend?
What is that? Blowing in the wind. And I saw it was $20, and I pick it up, and...
American. Wow.
And it's like 10:30. I get my lunch at 10:30. That's my lunch break at 10:30, so it's still the morning. And I'm looking around the street, and there's no one around, but I'm still like... really cringing and looking like thinking like there's somebody actually like in their window waiting for someone to take the $20, you know, waiting for someone to take it. And then they're going to run out and yell at me. And then I get in my car and I'm like looking on my hands to see if I have any like indelible ink on my hand that like someone's going to run up to my car and be like, excuse me, sir, show me your hand, sir. And like
Chris Hansen's going to roll up on you.
That's you now. Go 9 months without a job. You'll be jumping all over that thing and elbowing people that don't even aren't even going after it.
No, dude, I know exactly what you're talking about. I was walking on the beach one day with like a couple of friends. It was Coney Island. And I came – I rolled up maybe a foot away from me. I saw that there was money in the sand. Like clearly someone had stashed their bathing suit or shorts or something like there, went for a swim and then picked up everything and left and their money was there. And there were people standing – still sitting around at the beach. I didn't want them to ask any questions, so I stepped on it and hit it with my foot and brought my friend over to go, you know, pick up the cash for some
reason. Did you have to split it with him?
No, we did. I bought a beer with it, and we split a beer. But you know, for some reason, that's less conspicuous than me just bending it down and picking it up because I'm insane.
You know what I do? I found a dollar about a month ago. There was a dollar on the street, and I did feel that self-consciousness, so I accidentally dropped my keys, and then I picked it up, and then I did the whole, like, must have dropped the dollar, too, thing.
You yeah, know, it's like you're pocket. Stealing something that you're finding.
Yes, you feel, exactly.
It horrible.
And I'm thinking, like, should I not take it? Like, but then I'm like, somebody else is just going to walk down the street and take this $20 that's floating in the street. You know what I mean? Like, the person that lost that $20 is not finding it. It's definitely gone. So why should that, you know, somebody else get that
point? I really imagine it just kind of floating around in the air, just kind of like waving by.
You know what I think happened? That was an extra 20 that sailed out of the mint and just sailed across to New York right down and landed on the street there. So really, that you didn't cost anyone except your own country.
But I still felt like there was something wrong. I did. Driving away, still felt like there's something
What'd
wrong.
What'd you do with it? What'd you spend it on?
You have to ask that, Brian.
Yeah. I still have it. I actually still have it in my wallet.
No, you got it. You had to have gone out and said, wait, extra $20 I got to burn. I wasn't planning on doing. What am I going to do? Did you go out and buy some food?
It'll probably go to gas money, the $20 I found today. Chris, I found $20
so
today.
So boring.
What's up, my friend?
I found like an extra hour of sleep today.
That's great.
Did you really just wake up?
I swear to Jesus. just like a lot of our listeners, I actually slept through the beginning of Best in Show. It was amazing.
But unlike the rest of our listeners, you're actually hearing the rest of Best in Show.
True. But no, congratulations on your $20.
Yeah, find something. And like, I guess, you know, that's the point I bring up is that, like, finding something and having it, finding something and yet you feel wrong in some way that you're stealing. Is it stealing? Did I steal that $20?
Oh, see, I couldn't disagree with you more. Found stuff is the best stuff in the entire world.
Don't you feel a little guilty, though? Like, he ran to his car and hid, like, in shame for fear that the neighbors would come out and, aha, we got you!
Okay,
with our scam of leaving $20 around the street!
I apologize. I don't want to make you repeat yourself, but you just found it where?
I found it in the street floating, but I still thought that, like, it was just...
Levitating, actually. Was,
yeah, that's psychotic. That's
air money.
That's totally psychotic. How is there guilt? Who are you going to give it back to? Jesus?
No, I mean, like, just you know, like, I'm thinking that, you know, somebody's hiding in the bushes waiting for me or with a black light and, you know, I have that indelible ink on my hand that they're going
to
get me with.
If somebody's big prank is to drop $20 on the floor and say, ha ha, look at that jerk, he just picked up $20, they need to have a better prank.
And I understand.
Joke's on you, I spit on it.
I understand the logic of thinking that it's not really a well thought out prank. I just don't get even thinking that it's something to be guilty for no matter what.
I almost wanted to rip the $20 off. I was this close to ripping the $20 off just because, hey, I'm not taking it. It's just
I totally understand it.
The next time that you come up with that dilemma, please give me a call. I'll help you out.
You don't think this karma. I'm talking about karma. Am I going to lose
how
money?
How are you going to get that money back to their rightful owner? See, what you're technically supposed to do is bring that to the police station and say, here, I found this on the street. They take down your name and address. We've all watched, like, Leave It to Beaver and the Brady Bunch. They take down your name and address, and then they wait for somebody to call the police station and say, hey, I was on this street and I dropped $20, you know. So
there's a big box at the police station that just says money. Lost money.
It's the money box.
No, there's not. You're lying. And that cop is definitely just buying donuts. You know, you actually fill out forms for that found money.
If you actually showed up at the police station and did it, like, I would not be shocked if while you were standing there for a couple of months, like, oh, do me a favor, give me donuts, go get donuts, and actually took the actual money as you were standing there and would hand it to the guy to go buy donuts.
Sir, that's that 20. No, that's a...
Well, let me ask you guys a question. Is there
a donut shop lost this money?
You don't get it at all? Chris, no. I mean, dude, it's something that that is not yours.
It's the embarrassment Correct. Idea of picking up something that obviously doesn't belong to you, and you feel like, I think you associate it with the person that you see, like, the old person that sees a penny and, like, steps in front of a car to pick it up.
I look like a crackhead picking it up. Like, I was, like, running for it, and then I'm looking around all over, like, to see if there was anybody looking.
That's why you drop your keys. You just drop your keys.
I feel guilt.
I dropped money, too.
I just feel guilt immediately.
How's he going to drop his keys into midair, though? It was floating.
That's right.
But let me ask you guys a question. Is there an amount of money that you find that you wouldn't take? Like, say if you found a suitcase with $100,000 in it, are you like, I thought you meant too small.
A suitcase?
No, too large. Like, is there any, yeah, like, you
We also all know Country for Old Men, right?
I mean, yeah, that's what I mean. Somebody's looking for that money. Yeah. Is there an amount that you wouldn't take?
Juno's a great film.
I think I wouldn't – I would – see, I always think that – it's weird. I was thinking this the other day. What if I just found a bunch of money? And then I was thinking, what would the amount be that I would think, like, wait, somebody's going to be watching me and come after me to kill me because I took them.
$20.
I took, like, the drop, you know? Like
$20. I think that's the cutoff.
Don't say that.
Like, one person stumbled upon the drugs and I stumbled upon the cash.
It would depend upon the manner in which you found it. If you found, like, a briefcase, if you found a Halliburton – like sitting in a corner underneath, the trunk of a car or something. That's not finding. That's stealing.
No, I'm saying they find the Halliburton, like, on the beach walking, like Brian found his money. Yeah. But it was a Halliburton nonetheless. Say there was $200,000 in it.
But are you saying you're taking that? Are you saying you're going in it now? Or is it just sitting there open? Like, are you actually opening it up to see what's in it and finding money? Or is it open and you could see?
Number one, it's got to be drug money. Who walks around with 200 grand these days? I mean, if you really look at in today's world, as far as finding a bag or a suitcase full of money.
You know what it is. All you know, it's 200 grand.
Exactly. And it's dirty.
200 grand, you take that money. You take that money, but you don't spend it immediately. You just hold it for safekeeping until they show up at your house.
Don't show up with a pink Cadillac. Don't show up with any furs. save that money.
Exactly. You take it. You hold it on the side and say, oh, I was afraid. I saw this somewhere. I picked it up. I got scared that it was lost. I'm glad that it got to its rightful owner. Mm-hmm. And then when you hand it back to them, they'll put two in the back of your head. But still, it was at least a thought that you could have the fantasy that maybe you were going to be brought in, like you were going to become one of ours.
Let me ask you this, Fred. What if you were walking and you found a bag of pot?
No, I don't do that because then I don't know if it's laced with cocaine or something. Like, I'm not into like finding drugs.
So if you only want it if there's a bonus?
No, I don't want the bonus. I want it strictly.
I have definitely smoked found pot.
I was talking to a guy who I once worked with that he bragged about, hey, today I just found a bag of coke. And
cool.
He went out and he snorted the cocaine that night. I mean, really? A packet of white dust that you found on the ground, you're going to now ingest
That's
that
insane.
Into your lungs.
Well, how do you know that it's coke?
He must have, like, tasted it or something like that. That was insane.
Yeah,
That's
you
just
know what?
Insane to me.
I was once with two guys about 10 years ago. We were walking down to the train station.
With the gay joke.
And one of them goes, hey, look at this that I found. Do you think I should snort this? And we were just like, no.
Yeah, the answer to that is yes. It's
no,
always yes.
No, you shouldn't. And he's like, I think I will, though. And then he's like, it kind of burns. He's snorting it. And then I was just like, okay. And then and then he's like, yeah, that wasn't anything. And he does a little more of it. Like, and then as we got off the train, he's just laying, like, passed out with his head.
What, a little snizz? Maybe you think he found some snizz?
I don't even know.
One time my brother shows up to watch a football game. And, you know, he brings over a 12-pack of beer. I crack it open. I take a sip.
You stole one of his beers. See, that I can understand.
I go, when'd you go to the store? He goes, I didn't. I found this 12-pack outside my apartment. I spat it out. I said, are you kidding me? You found this 12-pack? What are you doing? I mean, it could be tainted.
Well, it's a can, right? I mean,
still, I don't even
trust
that.
When you opened it?
Yes.
So, yeah, no one's, like, compromised the integrity of that container.
I'm not even drinking found beer, man. That definitely not. But say that $20 is on, like, a crowded subway. Are you still taking it? Like, if people are looking at you, like, I saw this $20 floating
in. Put your foot on it.
That's exactly how I got over it on the beach. When I walked past that money, I put my foot on it, and I didn't even step down to get the money. I called my friend over to step down and, like, quote, tie my shoe as he picked up the cash. Because I'm slick.
Did you guys split it?
Oh, we had a beer. We split a beer with the $6.
Well, that certainly was probably the most expensive thing that I ever found. I was happy. It was a good
day. $20?
Yeah.
And you're going to buy gas with it.
I'm trying to think if I ever found more money. Yeah. Do you ever find money in your
Come
pocket?
Do something.
Yes, finding money in the pocket is always good.
I once pulled out a winter coat and there was $100 in the pocket.
Wow.
And I was thinking, what was happening last winter that I just didn't account for $100?
I was just trying to figure out what pocket was big enough that you had a full winter coat in it that you were finding an actual winter coat. Like, what? How'd that work?
Christmas, people didn't make out for Christmas that year with those Christmas presents that you should have bought with that $100?
Or somebody gave me cash for a Christmas present and I shoved it in my jacket. Yeah, I don't know.
Was it rolled up?
No, it wasn't. And it was folded.
Caked in blood on the corners.
It was like a brand new bank bill and it was folded perfectly. It was to the point where I was looking at it saying,
oh, that was
like
mine.
Fake bills. Oh, really?
That's how he saves his money. That's how he keeps his money.
Definitely. He used to keep his money in the house of someone he never met before.
He's got the serial number? I write all mine down.
Well, speaking of found money, I may have found a way to get some money.
You dealing?
No, believe it or not, no.
Walking around your neighborhood.
Let me be as vague as possible with the specifics, but I was offered a job to begin.
Whoa! Congrats!
To begin this Monday.
Nice.
And to end December 20th.
Oh,
temporary.
It's a seasonal job.
Well, whatever. Something. Yeah. Something for now.
The good thing is the commute. I wake up and sit down in my living room and log onto my computer.
Awesome.
Lucky bastard.
Awesome. Why, usually those pay like crap, though.
Could you not, yeah, it does. Can you not hold on to that if you do a really exceptional job at whatever it is?
No.
Really?
I can't. This is companies have, for years, has established that these are there. And don't get me wrong, there's six seasonal times. So it's too bad that I won't, like, if I am eligible the next time the seasonal thing rolls around, that means something bad happened and I still don't have a job. Yeah. So, but the way I look at it for the 5 weeks work, I guess it's pretty cool.
I never thought those jobs existed, that, like, actual work from home jobs. I always thought they were a scam.
You always hear that apparently you can stuff envelopes or something like that. I never believed it being anything either.
Yeah, that's what it is. I had to mail them $500 and I could stuff up.
Nice.
Stuff envelopes up with your money.
Well, I got to make a call, guys. I'll be right back.
Not getting into any detail. Do you sell stuff? Do you have to communicate with other people?
Basically, I log into a server and they route customers to me. So I'm a customer service rep, which I've done, but now I'm just doing it, you know.
Do you have to speak in an Indian accent?
Believe it or not, I do.
So people are going to be calling you for complaints and stuff like that, or
problems?
I don't think he wants to say.
It's possible. Complaints, questions. Considering what it is I'm doing, the amount of complaints that might happen, I don't think of very much.
You're actually going to have to be awake while you do the job.
Oh yeah, I have to be awake, and they demand that you have all this criteria met. Like the requirements of the computer, I'm okay with, but like as far as like the quiet behind you and stuff like that, so you know, I'm gonna have to move a computer into a different room because you know that it says if a customer complains about background noise, then you know they can take disciplinary. They can take disciplinary action. You know they're gonna be calling themselves to hear the background noise and see what's going on. So.
Do you have to dress in a certain way? Is there a camera involved or no? Or can you just be like
naked? Cam up and pal talk, actually.
I wish there was no camera involved, but there was a dress code. Yeah. I wish you had to wear a... I hope that because
Keith, I bet you there is a dress code.
I hope that Keith takes his job seriously and he actually wears a suit. I want you to wear a suit while you sit on the phone.
I'm actually going to be late the first day because I have to get dressed in my suit.
You're going to be naked, aren't you? You're just going to be...
I'm not usually naked in the house anyway, so...
And stroking. Just gently stroking quietly. As quietly, not to make any background noise with it, but just sitting there.
I almost think this is bad for Keith, because now he's not even going to get out of the house for anything. Like, and after this job ends, I think he's even going to be further regressed into his own thing, you know?
If another job that I've submitted for comes up during this, I will pull the plug. Literally pull the plug in the middle of speaking to a customer. I'll stop and, you know, I'll have to stop.
Sure. The inevitable question is being asked by Keith Fu in the chat room, so can he work during the show?
Yeah, I was thinking, can we have them reroute the number one day over to the on-air number? Have a call later.
Yeah, give them 877-744-6405.
It's the 800 number.
It wouldn't matter. The possible hours start early in the morning and roll to about showtime a little bit earlier, so it wouldn't be an issue.
Change the show.
That was actually positive about it.
Change the show.
Oh, I misunderstood. I thought he was saying what I have to work during the show. You want me to be able to work during the show. My last day.
How many hours is it? 8 hours?
It could be up to 11 per day, depending.
On what? On how much work you do?
Depending on how busy they are, yeah.
Wow, so you could be in
that.
You're
thinking, like I said, without going into too much detail, this is a place that's busy during the holiday season. Yeah. So
it sounds like what you're going to be doing is you're going to be logging into a queue, and then the queue is going to route the calls to all these remote workers. And
the Christmas tree shop has a customer service.
You would think. And then depending on how many calls are in queue, they'll probably say, okay, Keith, you're disconnected. Don't worry about it. We have you covered. Or Keith, stay on. We're busy. And that's probably what's going to happen if it's a busy season. At 8 o'clock rolls around, it's going to keep going. 9 o'clock. Whatever, and he'll still be sitting on the phone.
So, is your fiance going to serve you dinner and stuff? Like, you can't even leave the room. Like, you have to be brought things. Like, you have like a pee bucket that you're going to have to use and stuff.
Do me a favor. If she's doing that, make sure she's wearing pillows on her feet because we need to keep a quiet environment, no background noise. Her with big pillows on her feet and nothing but soft foods that you get.
And she can't breathe for 11 hours.
Obviously,
just keep shushing her. She'll love that.
When I've done the show,
hour 11.
When I've done the show from home, she was great. She brought me food, brought me whatever I needed. I don't know about every single day for 5 weeks straight. the novelty may wear off after a while, but I just raised my hand.
So look at you, man. Your life is looking up. The new, you got a fiance, got the new job. You're becoming a grown-up. Congratulations, Keith. Really, I'm proud. And this must have a little boost on your ego, no? Like, I saw you getting a little depressed with all the rejection you were getting out there in the job market.
The fact that, regardless of the quality of the job, I will admit that the fact that there was one single company or person out there that was willing to say, okay, I'm extending you a job offer. I was blown away to hear that. I almost said no.
Because anyone who accepts you is not good enough for you?
You're accepting me? I have to think about this.
Irish Curse is asking in the Pal Talk room, what's the product? I don't know if you can say the product without giving away what it is.
After it's all over, I'll tell everyone what it is.
Yeah, it's
Giggling Elmo?
You can't say what it is without giving away what it is. And again, I don't know why it would be a big deal, but I understand you don't want to take a crap on the first good thing happening to you employment-wise in the past year, so I could understand that.
It is related to that, though, somehow.
Well, good for you. Congratulations. It's good news. It's good news to know that that our little big baby is a giant baby now. Good for you. I don't know what that meant.
Thank you.
So you get to buy presents for us, too.
What's that?
You get to buy presents for us for the holidays.
I do get to buy you guys presents.
You got a job working for presents.com? Just answer the phone for presents.com and we'll get those?
And I should say that before that person agreed to hire me, I at least got one person to hire me for one day as I teamed up with our executive producer, Rob Giggs, yesterday.
Oh, you did his lawn?
And we.
I was going to say you're entirely too light-skinned, I would think, to work for him, but that's...
He owned you now.
Keith is actually... Is that what I signed?
He's actually cheaper than him. Mexican. So, it's an economic times.
The best is at one point they're sitting laughing and somebody made a comment about like hire a Mexican something for the day and I'm thinking, wait, that's me.
What did you hire him for? Like to open the car door or something?
Nah, at my office we had to clear some office furniture out and put in storage. They were redoing the section.
Keith was the muscle?
Like, you literally hired him as a day laborer.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic.
You know, he suggested...
I was working with him, though. We were a team. There was a team of four and Keith was my buddy and my little buddy. It's like...
Rob, be honest. Was Keith the most winded after all the moving?
No, actually, I was the most winded.
Really?
Yeah.
I refuse to believe. Well, that just means that you're working a little harder than him. I refuse to believe that in an athletic competition, you think Keith edges you out.
No, I think we're probably side by side with certain things.
Yeah, wow. His weight at least has a tall guy to support it. But at one point, Rob went upstairs, and I'm carrying these things, these heavy like cubicle walls.
Carrying Rob
to the elevator with this other guy, and this other guy is like probably like almost 10 years younger than me, and definitely a guy that like hits the gym every day. And at one point, we're both carrying it, and I'm just like I'm carrying it, talking to him because he's talking while we're holding it too, and I'm just like thinking like having a conversation, thinking like I'm gonna die today. Like I'm just gonna.
You need to reserve your oxygen. Here you are talking like I shouldn't be talking.
Stop talking. Must live.
What did you pay him, Rob, if you don't mind me asking, if I want to hire Keith one day? It was over a hundy?
That was a hundy even, actually.
Really?
And
it's good. That's a good day's work.
It was only a few. It wasn't a whole entire day.
I can't believe you guys are just discussing the money. I think that's inappropriate.
I think it's inappropriate, Keith?
Now he has to report it. He actually has to fill out taxes for it now. That sucks.
No, I gave it back. I gave it back. It was
found money.
You well, felt why is the Mrs. saying money? I only? It was 60. You told me. What's kind of...
You know, it's funny. Rob actually
100 kisses. He gave me 100 kisses.
Rob actually offered that work to the both of us, myself and Keith. Apparently, I did not make the cut.
Yeah. See, because I only. It turned out that I needed one individual,
Keith,
as opposed to two individuals.
Trump's Brian.
When I ask you, like, oh, well, what's he going to pay? And, you know, all depends. And, you know, it's a scenario.
I needed to know when I was going to get paid.
I will say, honestly, if I were to look between Keith and Brian and I thought about giving someone money, I would think that Keith needs it more than me right now. So I would give him the
especially since my response to the offer was, I don't care if it's $1 an hour, I'll do it.
But, Chris, given the fact that the job is moving things... I would pick Brian.
Who would be better qualified to do the job? Probably. No, not even probably. Definitely Brian.
Yeah, so what?
But I also know that Brian works sometimes.
It was, but keep this in mind. It was moving things and putting them where another person is telling you to put them on a time limit with no room to say, hey, I don't think we should do it that way. I think we should do it this way.
You know what?
Brian would have to write a plan. drawings.
Say what we do about Brian, about him. He's a pain in the ass when it comes to doing things.
No.
I know, it's weird, right? But he's a pain in the ass when it comes to doing things where he has the freedom, where he has the freedom to put his opinion in. But, I mean, I've worked with Brian for a lot of years, and he has, you know, he'll toe the line when he has to, and he'll do the job.
Chris has now reached the point of devil's advocate, and now he's trying to take money I made away from me.
No. I'm saying that Brian wouldn't be the worst person in the world to do the job, but I also said that you'd be the person I would give the job to first. Of course, you need it more right now. The fact of the matter is you haven't worked in a million months. He probably worked one day this week, you know.
Keith did say, wow, it's kind of nice to be not in my house and actually go do something during the day and actually, you know, work out. And, you know,
easily engaged.
Got breakfast, got
lunch.
That's
forever.
What I said exactly was, it's nice to go home and feel like I actually got out of my house and did something productive and earned some money, not like nice.
Wait, so you went out for lunch?
Well, we had lunch brought in, but we had some pizza.
Keith buy?
I was going to say, he didn't have to buy his own lunch, right? You guys took care of him.
You guys made Keith go get it.
They said that's the law in that state.
You made Keith go get the lunch, right?
He has no car. No.
Oh, you make him walk over? Boy, the lunches?
They're paying him for the day. He could get a cab to go pick up the food.
That's true.
Keith went to work, and he made -$30 that day. Congratulations.
Did you take a cab there because you were running a little late?
No, but I was texting the whole time.
Were you afraid at any point that Keith was going to, like, break something? Was he handling, like...
No, it was all...
It wasn't something that could easily be broken or anything like that?
No.
Did he steal anything?
That's still undetermined.
All right, okay.
We weren't a financial institution.
Irish Curse...
The default wasn't there when I got there, just so you know.
Irish Curse in the Paltalk Room saying that Obama claims that job was there for you because of the stimulus, and that actually counts as 150 new jobs, that one day of work that you did.
Wow,
that's weird.
What did you have for lunch? What did you guys get?
Pizza.
Pizza? Oh, okay.
So odd.
I just wanted to know.
A little chintzy.
Huh? Yeah. Chinese food.
You would think like sushi or something. Yeah, exactly.
They got pizza. Keith got a happy.
But no, what's weird? I'm like, oh, we'll get pizza. I'm thinking, wait a minute.
Keith is only allowed to have one slice.
I'm like, does Keith like pizza? I'm thinking to myself, does Keith like pizza? Because he doesn't like ketchup, and I'm thinking like tomato sauce and pizza.
Oh God, he lives on pizza.
Yeah. I do. And for the record, I definitely went home. And I got pizza because the lunch pizza got me in the mood for pizza. It's like, wow, I really need pizza now.
Wait, you're saying it got you in the mood for pizza. Does that mean that you didn't eat a lot intentionally when you were there? Or you ate until you were full?
No, I ate like three slices.
Did you wait until you were full? Or did you stop at three saying, you know what, I shouldn't keep eating pizza?
If I was at home, I might have eaten a little more. Okay. If it wasn't shared among people. Like, I'm, you know, good with that. But
you weren't rushing through to try to get the steroid guy, like, try to beat him? To the punch for the last slice.
I don't know what you're talking about, Mister. Yeah, and I think that pizza was actually left there when we left too. So it was probably would have been better off if someone.
Would you hire him again, Rob?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, look at that.
How about Keith? Would you hire Keith again?
It was a good time though. I'm work.
I always find it weird sometimes seeing you guys outside of the radio show, especially in a. When you're in like a work environment type of thing, like seeing you guys out like at a bar or something like that, you know,
is weird.
It's less weird than actually going out and like being hired by one of you guys in a work sort of environment.
at this
because you and Brian work together.
At this point now, I think it would be very odd to work. And Brian would be the one that I would that is the one the most because Brian's a person that you know that I actually did work with, and my relationship with him started as a professional relationship that we worked at the same place.
Professional?
At that place, yeah, it was for a little bit. A little bit.
Maybe I was professional. Let's just put it that way.
What are you talking about?
I never crapped in a pizza bucket and tried to feed it to my coworkers.
I never crapped in a pizza bucket either. It was on a paper plate. It's a little bit different. It's an entirely different thing. But, okay, yeah, so there was a little bit of madness there. I understand. I'm not saying that we worked at the most normal place with the most stable people, myself being one of them, obviously.
That's the only one.
That's an HR.
No, oh, that's lies. Lies. I mean, we were surrounded by a bunch of lunatics. The fact that someone was
you were the most lunatic-y. Come on.
The fact that someone there was willing to accept money to try and eat someone else's feces would obviously suggest that someone else is crazy involved.
No, it's really crazy though. The last time me and Keith worked together was like 17 years ago.
Yeah, because you guys did work before as well before you had this radio relationship.
We did.
And you're saying, Chris, that you think it would be weird, say, if I got a job at your company or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think I would be comfortable working with any of you. I don't think I would be comfortable.
Why? Because you're too close, or do you just
say for Brian?
I personally am finally starting to identify what a terrible person I am to work with, and I would not. I mean, I think it's admirable that you guys tolerate doing a show with me at this point.
Let alone work.
So, in a real professional environment, knowing how I mistreat coworkers constantly, I would be very uncomfortable working with you guys. Mm-hmm. I just scream and curse at people all day long. I'm the worst person who ever lived.
Me and Chris almost worked together.
Where?
At the job that he had that right before. Was it before this one? The job that
driving
you had.
Cabs?
The job that you had where you
the one that I got fired for getting you hired.
You got fired.
Oh, no, you mean the one that I got fired the day after you got hired and there was no correlation between the two? Yeah.
Yeah, they extended me an offer.
Was it a computer type of place where you
It was an administrative assistant position, right?
Okay.
It was in an office and I went home the next day and I gave 2 weeks notice to my boss. I walked out, checked my voicemail at lunchtime, and the lady just left me a message. Yeah, we made you the offer yesterday. I just called to let you know that we are withdrawing the offer. Thank you.
So do you go back in and say, hey,
Yes, I did. I was like, oh, remember this morning what we talked about?
Can you not remember?
Is that eating crow? Is that what they call eating crow?
Eating something.
Yeah, on an amazing side note, I was fired from the place, and as a result, they felt that they couldn't continue to hire my friend as they were planning to. The reason I actually got that was cited for me being fired was the fact that I was spending too much time on the internet, which was I was actually streaming internet radio at the time and spending too much time on the quote. Ron Fez message board. I don't know what the Ron Fez message board is.
Did they actually say that?
I swear to God, the Ron Fez. And I remember this woman saying the Ron Fez to me because I was spending too much time on ronfez.net.
The fact that the next day, if I may say, the fact that the next day they probably had to sink thousands of dollars into medical benefits and stuff like that had nothing to do with it, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. It was a cover for the reason that they wanted to let me go and just, you know, that was
And if I'm not mistaken, didn't you find out the two people before that also suddenly had internet problems the last day?
Indeed. The people that were temps like me that were just about to go permanent like me, the same thing happened to the same two people in that position for
so
me.
That so must be
that was their
an ongoing problem.
That was their MO.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, I don't understand. You would think that the going through the trouble to actually have to learn someone the new system once a month would be a little bit ridiculous, but hey.
Did the bosses fire you themselves, or did they have someone do their dirty work?
It wasn't the boss. It was the office manager that fired me. Someone that,
they just changed the locks on him. Like, he just couldn't get into
the next day. The day that she told me to come in and get my personal effects, I actually showed up there, and someone else opened the door and actually let me in, and I actually went over to my desk, and the girl who was supposed to, and she walked over, and she sees me, and she's like, how'd you get in here? I was like, I don't know. I rang the bell, and someone opened the door, and I came in. Oh, we were going to send this stuff to you.
Oh, they told you over the phone?
Oh, yeah.
You know what? My boss, my last boss that I had, used to call when she didn't want to – when she wanted to fire a temp, she used to call the temp agency and tell them to call them at home and say, oh, yeah, they don't need you there anymore.
Good. That's how I do it,
She didn't want any type of, like, confrontation.
That's sort of the deal. Well, that's why you would want to hire through a temp agency, because well, you don't want to deal with that.
That's
crap.
Exactly what did happen. Is I was called at home by the temp agency and told us, but then I actually had to go to the place the next day and actually get my stuff, because my stuff was there, because I'm one of those people that moves into a job. That I bring like personal things and have them at my desk.
Like
or
me?
Exactly.
Set up See, that's the studio weird. In the conference that's room.
Weird. What do you mean?
That's weird that you make that your home type of thing. Like, I have nothing. If my job called me tomorrow and said, hey, Fred, you're out, I said, all right, and I'll never see that place ever again.
How about for what I do? The same way. For what I do now, my job requires that I have different identifications, like different IDs for different buildings and different companies and stuff like that, that I need. My boss leaves his piles of IDs at his desk just in case it ever happens. He's like, yeah, I don't want to have to worry about coming back here if I don't need to. If something happens one day, my IDs are, you know, I left them in a drawer here. The only problem I have is I might leave a banana at my desk that I might lose if I leave it here, and that's it. I guarantee you, if you walked through my office, you'd be able to pick my desk out because of the nonsense, like all the paraphernalia.
There's a little fridge there, like, you know, DVD player.
Obviously. You know, he's got all these knickknacks. There's things, like, coming off of the wall, and, like, he's got all kinds of pictures.
The Ron Fez .net playing.
Yes, yeah. The Ron Fez. I have the Ron Fez all over my desk. I actually literally do have a picture of Ron and Fez at my desk. I swear to God I do.
What about your wife and daughter?
Yes, of course I have pictures of my wife and daughter at my desk.
The Ron and Fez one's framed, though.
Definitely not as big as the Ron and Fez, though. The Ron and Fez, it was, you know what it was? Someone else, people started putting things on my desk, and then I just went with it after they started doing it. Someone cut an article out of the paper. I actually have the article out of the paper from when Opie and Anthony got fired, and Ron and Fez were taking over middays. That's what's taped to the wall at my desk. Someone else taped it there. I didn't even put it there. It was on.
Chris is married? I thought he lives with Ron and Fez and Dan Marino, according to the pictures on his desk.
There's definitely a lot of Dan Marino at my desk. Little Dolphins helmets. What?
I'm with Fred. I treat my workspace as if, like, I'm prepared for some sort of natural disaster. Like, in 30 seconds, I can be out the door and you'd never know that I was there if something went wildly wrong. I don't want any personal crap anywhere near where I'm working. I just want to be out the door.
When I lost my job in March, my boss said to me, do you have any stuff here that you want to get? So I was like, nah, just grab my bag. I pretty much have everything. And then, like, a month later, they just mailed me so much personal stuff that I just left there. Like old papers and stuff like
the
that.
The iPod that you thought you lost.
I hate clutter. I find, like, as I'm getting older, I get less and less stuff, to leave.
Well, there's a difference between acquiring stuff and clutter. They're two different things.
Not in Chris's world, actually.
Well, because I just find that I don't collect anything, and I've thrown a lot of stuff out, and I really don't even...
Do you have a desk at work that's really considered your desk? Do you have your own?
I don't even have a space. I don't have a space.
Because I so wanted you to take a picture of it, and we could post it on a board or something. I would love to see it.
I have the seat right next to the kid that I'm watching. That's it. That's all I have.
Okay.
I move from room to room, and I might have a notebook in my hand, but, you know, that's about it, to conceal the book that I'm reading.
in that paying attention to the job.
Exactly.
Yeah, you probably don't have, like, a workspace.
I don't.
Right?
I don't have a workspace.
They probably don't let you have one.
But even
like
in
your car.
Like, I think if I left my apartment, like, I wouldn't be leaving much stuff behind either. Do you know what I mean? Like,
stop it.
What would I leave behind? A TV?
I've been in your apartment.
A guitar?
There are things there. There are things.
Yeah, but there are just things like a couch and, like,
I will
a
say
wall.
It's not cluttered.
You know,
it's definitely not cluttered. I've been in your house and it looks
very clean.
It looks as not clean. It looks like kind of a model apartment. It looks like nobody really lives there. It's kind of like there's furniture. There's. It's almost as if, like, if I were to pull one of the books out of the bookshelf, they would all come out and they'd be like half books.
It's just that wallpaper. It's the wallpaper.
Like the water isn't on or anything. Like, there's suspiciously.
Did you,
like, it's a setup.
Did you meet your wife? Because you both were playing the homeowners in there.
And she's good with that too. She doesn't collect things. There's no clutter. But I don't see me taking much of anything if I left the apartment. I really don't.
Your clothes and that's it.
Clothes, a guitar. That I mean.
Your weed.
Yeah, if I have that week.
What about your elliptical machine?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
You have to take that one.
Your bass, man.
But that was a gift.
Do you still use that?
Your stump fiddle.
Yeah,
I was going to buy it from you.
A stump fiddle.
You
got to
bring the stump fiddle
with
you.
My wife's. But Chris, you have a lot of stuff. Like, I look into that room where we used to do our radio show, and that is more stuff than I ever owned in my life.
I challenge you to look at it now. You would vomit if you saw it. Wait, so are we going to screen this call?
You want to screen this call? Hey, who's this is calling? This is Best in Show Radio. What do you got for the show? Hello? Oh, okay. I guess them hearing me say, hey, do you want to screen this call?
No, they didn't hear that part.
You got to start with caller, turn your radio down first.
Okay. Right, caller, all right, wait. Caller, turn your radio down. You've reached Best in Show. What do you have for the guys on the air?
Best in Show call screener. What do you got?
Do we actually say call screener?
Yeah. Let them know what's up. Okay. It's like, what do you got?
What about hers? Oh, is it only for guys? Obviously, girls are just always allowed on the air. Girl call, we want
There's
that.
There's no girls on the radio.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I forgot.
Well, Keith is still out looking for a job. He's found a temporary one. So when the Thanksgiving factory, you know, closes down for the season, you'll still be looking for another job,
the
right?
Thanksgiving factory.
And are you still looking for another job now? Like, you're not going to get complacent and be like, I'm not leaving my house for the job, and I'm not going to look for a new one.
Well, how do you look for another job when you got a job at your house? How can you get out to go do a job?
Yeah,
that is true.
It is a thing, but I mean,
what do you mean? You look on the internet the same way that you look to get this job.
But he can't be on the internet as much as he could be because now he's on the internet for his job.
Keith, what you do is you work it into
for 11 hours, maybe.
You've never seen multiple tabs in a browser.
Oh, they can't see that, like, into your computer.
There's not a little man that's going to come and sit on his shoulder while he's doing his job.
But I mean, like, somebody.
Maybe you do have to wear a suit if there is, though.
I know what he's thinking. It could be like one of them log me in situations, like they can access my desktop, but that's not happening.
All right.
You're ready.
Hey, Best in Show call screener, who's this and what do you got for the show?
Oh, this is Turk Broda. I wanted to talk about workspaces.
Okay, hold on a second, Turk. We'll get you right on the air. Hold on. Hey, joining us on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, we've got Turk Broda joining us. Hey, Turk, how are you?
Hey, so what do you guys like to talk about on this show?
Oh,
workspace.
We're big fans of workspaces.
Nice. Well, I'm a big fan of Turk Broda.
Oh, really, Turk? I wasn't aware of that.
If I ever left my job, I'd have to get a piano crate to pack up all my Turk Broda memorabilia.
Very interesting. I understand. I would probably have to do the same.
Okay. Well, I hope you would.
I hope I will.
Okay, I'll call later.
All right, please do. Thanks, Turk. That was Turk Broda. It's Turk Broda. His voice sounded a little familiar. It didn't sound like the Turk Broda I know.
He got really Canadian.
I'm going to say that Turk Broda sounds like he should have his own radio show, maybe on Tuesday nights. Just a thought. That's what I think should happen. But
I'm thinking at the end of every call that you're on and the service call, you can ask them if they have, like, jobs that there are any.
Hey, you know anyone that's hiring?
Like, working into your little rap. Come on, you could do that.
I could try that. Yeah, I don't know. If somehow a lot of the things I apply to, if somehow something, like I said, something comes up, then I'll have to consider it. But, you know.
Can you practice on our next caller? Like, do you have some stuff that you have to say to
them?
I don't think you can do it
without letting us know what the thing that he's doing is.
We could. You know what we could do, though? We could. Although they're probably going to hear it when I say it now. Afterwards, you can tell them you're going to transfer them to a post call screening, and I'm gonna give them like a survey, ask them how they like.
All right, thanks. Hold on. Someone wants to talk to you as we let you go. Hey, this is the post call. Well, for some reason that you'd have a sexy voice. Hey. Because that's sexy. Hey.
Chris, don't ruin it. You're ruining the bit.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Why are you trying to steal my bits? That's my job.
Damn it. I'm trying to get a job from home myself, all right? I was trying to. I stepped on your toes. I didn't mean to.
And you know what? The last thing I got to say about it is she told me, now, you do understand this job is temporary. And I was like, well, I do now. She's like, okay, is that a problem? Because, you know, a lot of people have left. And I'm like, no, it's okay. You know, but because all along I was thinking, wow. I'm going to parlay this into becoming the, like, manager of the...
manager of your house?
Of the home call screeners.
Of his house.
Dude, I know I'm starting off low. I'm working in the mailroom of my house. But I can keep doing what I'm doing right. Someday I'll manage this place.
And I'm thinking, like, now I'm going to become, like, a management from home. Like, I'm going to have, like, they're going to come install computers in my house.
You know? I don't think that's cool. You're pulling rank over the Mizza. You're already the manager at home now? Come on.
He's someday you can be the vice president.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that she's the manager. She's definitely the CEO. She's the CEO of that place.
CFO.
I already applied. I applied to be manager of the house, and I got turned down.
Hey, one day you'll be assistant. I bet you'll be assistant manager. I'm sure it'll be great for you. It's great news. I think it's excellent. I think it does kind of stink that it's temporary, but hey, but you know, it's the first it's your first step back into things. You're making some decent scratch. You're gonna be making a decent living. What, you don't like when I talk like that?
No. Scratch. Oh. No to all of that.
Okay.
No, it's okay. It's 5 weeks of pay.
Is it enough of a thing that you shouldn't be looking for something else while you're doing it at the same time? Or like you'll be able to live on it for that little bit, you'll be okay.
Oh, I could live on it for that time if that's the case. Yeah,
that's what I was asking. Okay, well, good for you.
Will Rob still own you?
I have to look at what I signed yesterday.
Yeah, I think he owns him indefinitely.
I got him till 4 PM tomorrow.
Excellent. Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do, 3 years, place to be. If you want to be a part of the magic, just like our friend Turk Broda, you can. 877-744-6405. That's 877-744-6405. Just because I didn't get to do it at the beginning of the show because I was a little sleepy. We're obviously on Pal Talk in the Heroes Talk radio room and heroestalk.com.
You want to introduce everyone, too?
Yeah, I felt, I got to be honest, I'm really a little insulted that I didn't even get an intro at all. I got Fred saying, oh, right, Chris? And I had to jump right in. It felt a little weird. Felt a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, welcome to our world, pal.
Yeah. What do you mean? I think it's just feeling uncomfortable and weird that you have to be involved in it. Well, that's the world that is Best in Show, and that's what happens here on our program, some odd things sometimes. And an odd phenomenon has actually happened on this show that I actually want to take a few minutes to talk about, if I could. Phenomenon.
Phenomenon.
Nice.
Do 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 do
do do do do do do.
Phenomenon. 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 Come on, you played bass for years. You can't follow a tune in your head.
Jesus, Keith, what's happening?
Awesome. Well, so an odd phenomenon has happened.
Fred, do you need a para?
I'm becoming retarded.
Becoming?
I became.
I gotta be honest. I understand why, because the room smells funny now. It smells like Otto's jacket right now. So now I understand why you've gotten retarded. No, but so this odd thing has been happening. I won't do it again. I'm not gonna open that door back up.
I'm just a big fan of you saying, I gotta be honest.
No, seriously, I gotta be honest with you fellas. Honesty. Do, do,
do, do. All right.
Right, I thought we're friends. So a weird thing has happened on this show that we've made reference to things and we talk about things on the program. And then I've noticed that after we've talked about things on the program, things will actually come back to haunt me, I guess, is probably the best way to explain what I'm talking about, as I'm trying to pull up some audio here. So you guys will know what I'm talking about here. I guess this will be the first place where we'll start. And this isn't so much, but it sort of ties in. And this is a way of tying in a little story that was on our message board, being the Radio Bronze Fans Forum this afternoon. This is a little something that I read about today. And it ties in. Yeah.
You're not allowed to have sex in a hotel room. That's not considered a public place. You can go to a hotel room. I mean, that's really the reason to go there, isn't
but,
it?
But,
like,
but
you go there to get banged out.
You go to a hotel room to get banged out. That was a few months back when our special news correspondent Vanessa actually called into the program. Excuse me, it was Satellite Uplink to the show, and we were talking about the Standard Hotel that is over the Highline Park in New York City, and talking about how it was an interesting little this interesting little odd place where all sorts of fun sex things are happening. And apparently, according to a post on the Radio Bronze, yeah, fun sex things and the public love fun sex things. And our buddy Barb posted on the Radio Bronze Fans Forum just yesterday. Apparently, in the past couple of days, there has been a rape that has occurred in one of those windows at this hotel.
Attempted rape.
Well, rapish.
Is rapey.
It was a little rapey. A little rapey, right. To me, that's rape.
Did anyone witness?
I'm only assuming that was the case. I would. It happened in this hotel, so I assumed all that the windows had to be open and there had to be live bangouts for the world to see.
I think I'd get out the stink.
That's what I didn't see.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything like that at all. I just wanted to pull more audio. <That's>, actually pad this bit a little bit.
That's what I didn't see in the report, is whether or not anyone actually witnessed it. And the aggravating thing about the link about that guy writing that article is his big problem, the thing this guy was outraged at, wasn't that this guy tried to rape this woman in the hotel room. It was that the New York Post is now going to really come down on this hotel. Like, that's what got him all angry and
what
crazy.
He was getting angry about is the fallout from the last wacky standard fallout. He was discussing how everyone was all up in arms because people were showing their bodies before, and the New York Post, amongst other media outlets, went out and made this big to-do about the standard hotel being a den of iniquity as a result of the previous thing. And now, because of this, it's going to get even worse,
right,
which
but,
is exactly
but that's
what
the whole thing.
But wasn't it like the Gothamist or something like that? I don't remember what the article was that you saw. So it was something like – it's a blogger.
But isn't that the idea of like saying that like say, I don't know, Obama does something stupid tomorrow. Somebody that likes Obama saying, man, I just know Rush Limbaugh's going to jump all over this. Like, of course he is, so don't listen to him. But, or, like, don't read the Post.
No, what his point was is that this is not the standard hotel's fault. This is some dumbass Australian celebrity spinoff wannabe that got drunk or high and attempted to rape
someone.
And
the fact that people watch stuff going on in this hotel has nothing to do
with it. Right, and now every news outlet out there is going to be, standard hotel is rape-bound.
Or
don't
if anything,
there because it's evil.
If anything, I would think it'd be a safer place because there's always people watching what's going on.
It's true. Yeah, well, Barb was saying, made the joke in the chat room that she was wondering if anyone was sitting there while it was happening and was actually jerking off, and then when they realized, like, had to put their coat back on and walk away humbly. And I'll be honest with you, I really do think that this whole thing is going to put a damper on all the Jack in action, that people are going to be paying attention. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame. I feel a little bit bad that I never got a chance to go over to the Highland to watch to see whatever I could see. It's a little disappointing.
I don't know how they're going to really – like, what are they going to tell their people, do not open your curtains? Or they're just not – they're going to –
Maybe they're going to be cops all over the place there now just in case. I don't know. Generally, when you're near a recent crime scene, you would think that it might dampen the buzz or something, or put a wet blanket over things.
But yeah, regardless, that attention isn't going to be – attention that the people that are enjoying that place want.
But say if there's a cop there now and he's looking up and he sees some two people having sex, he can't go up to their apartment, knock on there, and give them indecent exposure, like ticket, Kenny.
Well, isn't that what our whole
I know
we
that
were trying to figure out last time? Like, is that allowed?
It might be enforced now that there was an attempted rape there. Who knows what's going to happen there?
Yeah, I think that it's somehow something bad's going to happen there. And I don't know. I thought it was interesting to bring it up. Just the idea that we had talked about something and then it became something sort of newsworthy. Granted, it's not exactly the idea of what I'm talking about here. About
so Best in Show forecasted this rape?
No, yes. That's the point. Is that?
Well, bad things are happening there. The earth is being populated.
Nothing to do with this.
I know it had nothing to do with. That's the point. I'm trying to pan my bit by threw a little extra in there to start off. Right, hold on.
This is what the blogger was getting all upset about, is that like people like us would go out there and start drawing wacky conclusions.
That's awesome. We have a new listener.
Awesome. All right, but maybe I did a little better on this one. Best in Show, we do things. We talk about stuff, and then things happen with it. And it's like Best in Show predicts the future. That's what we do stuff.
You know.
Like
by
that.
The way, was she dressed up like a sexy maid, or was she like just a regular kind of hotel maid? Because that might not have been rape.
That was inappropriate. So you're saying she asked for it? By the way, that she was dressed.
Well, I mean, maybe she was
inappropriate. I'm disgusted. Unappropriate.
Because sometimes you sort of get in that position where you, like, see someone, and sometimes it's not someone that's really that good of a friend, but sometimes they're kind of just like, oh, hey, what's up? And, like, they're kind of drawing you in. And I hate that whole thing because, like, I don't know the etiquette of, like, do I have to now sit and spend the entire ride talking to this person now?
That was that from?
That is from a couple months back. That's our buddy Keith talking about being on the ferry and actually getting trapped, being forced to talk to someone on the ferry.
Or not knowing what to do. When I saw the guy, I was like, kind of like, am I going to have to? Is he want to? I don't know what to do here. So, you know,
So this was a little something that was brought up, and it was brought up on our show on the October 1st broadcast of our show. October 2nd. Was the Vagabond Souls playing at the Bitter End. After the show, I think I talked about it in the past, I actually went and hung out with Barb and Tidbit, and then I actually headed home, got a little high and went home. When I went home, I got on the ferry,
and was trapped on the ferry, not 24 effing hours after Keith spoke about this on the show, I was trapped on the ferry by someone, to boot, all high while I sat there. Is, yo, what's up, kid? I ain't seen you in so long, kid. Came over, high five, hug thing, reaches over and, like, you know, has to sit next to me and actually had to hang out with me the entire time on the ferry. And, you know, being the fact that I was all high, I just didn't have the strength or wherewithal in me to be like, oh, yeah, dude, I'm going to run down to the bathroom or something. And I had to sit and go through a walk down memory lane, kid. Yo, remember that time we did this, son?
When you were on the ferry, did you think about that conversation you just had with Keith the night before?
Of course, okay. Of course, and literally, I think actually,
I bet you thought about it before you even got on the ferry.
I didn't, because again, I was all baked and just, you know, didn't care about anything, and then I just got trapped with it to the point that as soon as I got home, I got on Pal Talk and started complaining immediately, like I can't even believe that this just happened to me. That I literally we just talked about this yesterday, and I just got screwed and actually had to sit talking about what's up, kid. I can't even believe it. Yo, what are you doing on the boat at this time? Oh, hi. What's up, kid?
So how'd you deal with it?
I sat there all high and didn't do anything. I was just like, yeah, that was a good
time. Well, you should do it.
I'm just letting him
have a laundry list of recommendations to Keith, like what to do in this situation.
I was inebriated. I was a mess. I was sitting there stupid and baked and couldn't even function.
He couldn't move to get away. You know, you wanted the nearest seat.
Yeah, and I sat down, and the way that the ferry is, it's the seats alternate. So I sat in such a way that my face was looking at the oncoming people. So there was no way for me to even hide if I wanted to. He came in like, and he saw my face. Okay, what's up, kid? And I keep doing the voice because, for the five people that may be listening that actually might know who he is, that's pretty a dead-on impersonation of who he is.
I already know who that is. It's so funny because I saw him on a train recently, but we were only could be together for like 5 minutes, but he was the total opposite. It was the morning, and he was like half asleep.
Oh, well, this was 4 o'clock in the morning. He probably just went to some hip-hop show and hung out, and he had a good time for himself.
So but I enjoyed seeing him.
I didn't. The problem was he was a good dude. He's a good and still is a good dude. And he's someone that I actually.
Oh, you didn't throw him overboard.
He's someone I like. Someone I don't mind talking to at all. But the situation at that moment, it was just like, yo, and he wanted to go on and on. It's just like, dude, like I don't mind hanging out, like, and saying something to you, like, but I really can't do it. And I just thank God that when I got to Staten Island, that I get on a train and he gets on a bus and we went in 2 different directions. The longest half hour of my life.
Would you have, if he got onto the train, would you have, quote, gotten onto a bus? Like, would you, if he was going, hey, I got to go on the train too, kid. We'll
what up, kid? See you on the train too. Save me
oh,
seat,
no, I'm sorry.
Sir.
I got the bus.
No, actually, I have to stand in the ferry terminal and wait for the next train after you leave. I'm sorry, I couldn't.
I pulled that maneuver. I've definitely walked instead of taking the train or something.
Well,
like
in
that.
Staten Island, it's not, I mean, it's, he, on Staten Island,
you're gonna wait another hour to take
exactly
the ferry.
At 4 o'clock in the morning, as it was, like, you know, I'm not gonna wait till 5 to take it. So I would have dealt with it,
or I'd fart. that's another way.
See, but that's uncanny, man.
Oh,
that's,
what's up, kid? You farted. That's crazy.
That's
kid.
Great that it was the day after, though. That
literally
it was so close.
24 hours. Best in show, predicting the future. Just off.
Well, that night I had been coming back from a job interview. So happens the next time I went to a job interview, which was like a week later, I'm coming back on the ferry. And sure enough, I'm walking the whole length because it's pretty crowded. It wasn't like rush hour time, but there were so many tourists on it that, like, I was just trying to find a place to sit, which was relatively empty. So I'm walking on like one of the little side areas, and I see sitting there a friend of ours, somebody that's been on our show.
Like a friend of ours?
No, not that type of
guy. Oh,
okay. You know, he's a good fella, but not a good fella. But anyway, I see, you know what? I'll just say who it is. I see,
what's up, kid?
No,
doing,
no.
Man?
I see our friend Bourgeoisie, who, if you remember, I beat him in the Twin Peaks trivia game show, just so everyone remembers that I'm the Twin Peaks trivia champion.
Kind of anyway, a guy you'd want to talk to, though. You see him. It's like,
absolutely. Yeah, okay. And I'm walking, and I see him sitting there, and he's definitely someone I would want to talk to. And now, again, I start becoming self-conscious because I'm like, wait.
Is he going to do it to you?
I don't think he wants to talk to me. And the reason I said this is because, first of all, I know he's a really nice guy who will sit and talk to me. I have never seen a human being more immersed in a book than he was. I mean, he's sitting there, like, glaring holes through his eyeballs into the book. And, like, as I'm approaching him, he's not even looking, has no clue that I'm coming, and is reading it. And I'm coming up on him, and I'm like...
And the obvious move would be to slap the book and say, what's up, nerd?
had I thought of that, I might have done that. But
nerd. He'll just slap the book down out of his hair.
And then just kept walking.
Exactly.
So I'm looking at him, and I'm about to, like, I'm like, well, I can't ignore him, though, you know? Like, and then, like, he's so into the book. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to walk right by and let him read. So I didn't say anything
to him. You didn't
say anything? I wish that I didn't have so many text messages in my phone, because I would love to show the actual text message that Keith sent at that time. But it was something to the effect of, I see so and so. He actually gave his real name. I see so and so on. What was it? It was the boat.
What's up, dude?
It was the ferry, right?
Yeah, it was the ferry coming back to Staten
Island. And I don't know if I'm supposed to interrupt him to actually try and talk to him or not. You know, I just found that kind of.
I think
funny.
You did the right move.
I agree.
Well, I know I did, because 3 days later on Facebook, he posts a status update. Or, like, something saying...
Trying to read. Some ass just interrupted me.
Saying he's on the ferry reading a book, looking to find a quiet spot where he won't be interrupted. Nice. And I'm just like, you know what? I did the right thing. I'm proud.
You should have slapped that book right out of it.
Next time I will.
Nerd.
Usually it's enough with just the headphones. But, you know, headphones and book combination is usually the big red flag. Don't touch me. But one or the other is kind of like danger zone. You're almost asking for someone to come and interrupt.
Just
you.
Always have a really pissed off face, yeah. And I think people
doesn't
will normally
work.
Leave you alone.
Oh, no way!
No,
what's wrong, kid?
What's wrong, kid?
What's wrong, kid?
I'm pissed.
So, what's wrong, son? You're so upset, son. Come here, bring it in, kid. That's what I would think.
I've just been raped. Leave me alone.
Oh, that's right. That's the best excuse.
Raping's never funny. That's never funny.
That's true. Really is true.
So let me hear some more of this.
So that one, Brian, that one was actually predicting the future. That actually tied into the bit. That one wasn't filler. So I did it.
Much more so.
All right, let's see if this one is. Let's see how this works. As we do best in show predicts the future. What was even better was the fact that he went to the car and 10 minutes later came back over to the car and handed me my license and registration and said, hey, I'm letting you off with a warning this time.
Wow.
So after the whole rigmarole and being ridiculous and saying, swearing to Jesus, are you going to lie to Jesus and all that, I actually got away with it. But I felt as though I was about to get screwed over. That was me talking about specifically about getting a ticket or not getting a ticket, in fact, for not wearing my seatbelt when getting pulled over by a police officer. That happened on our show a couple months back.
The traffic cop stopped you as you were going
past two, them. And it was two of them within a week and a half of each other, the first time with Brian.
I was in the car with one of them.
For the first time. And then the second time when I was explaining the story about what happened with me and Brian to someone else, I got pulled over again and swore to Jesus, and the cop said something to me about, you're going to lie about Jesus. And stuff like that, which was really great. It was pretty funny stuff. So I wound up not getting my ticket. And this was the reason why I actually was obsessing about keeping doing this bit doing this predict the future thing, because for weeks after that, maybe like a week or two after that, I was carrying in my pocket, which I don't have now. I only have the not one. The not two, but the three tickets that I actually have successfully gotten since then, after getting pulled over for not having a seatbelt on, because I don't learn my lesson. I didn't get three tickets for it. I actually got two tickets for the seatbelt and one for being on the phone.
It's just second nature to me now. You get in, you put it in. It's not even like a big deal. I don't even feel it.
I'm a fat guy. It digs into my neck.
Well, you got to put it up. You got to put the thing up higher. Then isn't there an
adjustable? It can't go up any higher. It doesn't work for me.
It's not a fat guy. It doesn't dig into his. He's just become. He hasn't. You know how when people started wearing seatbelts in like the early 90s, might even been the mid 80s, there just became like the entire world just said, you know what, it's not cool not to have seatbelts on. He was one of those guys who held on to that. It's like, no.
When the helmet laws of the motorcyclist came,
he would
definitely
not have a helmet if you were.
Well, that's gay. A helmet on a motorcycle is gay. It's like a hockey player wearing a helmet. Turk Broda wouldn't wear a hockey helmet. That's ridiculous.
He hasn't become accustomed to it because it's just not a. It's not the.
But
right
the thing, is, I do wear a seatbelt.
But when you got those three tickets, were you wearing seatbelts around your waist?
No.
Okay.
How many days after this did you get
weeks.
Those tickets?
It's a matter of a couple of weeks. Oh. A couple of weeks. I'll give you
that's like so long.
I'll give you.
Oh, was it days? It was weeks. It's been weeks between
my
tickets.
Days.
The first one was actually the Labor Day event. I was actually stopping. That was me stopping at the ShopRite that morning to get the buns, the burger buns, to actually do it. I actually was going to talk about it on the air and said, no, I don't have all the stuff I want to do for this. That's how long I've been sitting on doing this great bit of predicting the future. That's just ridiculous.
You've been sitting on it for exactly three tickets in length.
Yeah. But
But it's so I wound up getting I got the tickets for it. It was very disappointing.
Learn your lesson, man. Come on,
have
you
learned my lesson? I've learned my lesson. Although I will say, half sleepy tonight racing here. I didn't realize until I was a block away that I didn't have my seatbelt on the whole
Nobody
way.
Likes wearing that seatbelt, Chris. It irritates all of us, but we do.
It's not a matter of liking it. It's not a matter of not liking it. It's just a matter of that something happened and a mistake happened. And I'm sorry. And this isn't about my seatbelt.
But you know what's more irritating? You know what's more irritating? That you have three tickets. How much of those tickets, how much does it all equal if you add them all up?
130 times three.
130
times $390.
Three. How many days does it take you to make $390?
How many what?
How many days does it take you to work to make $390? Day? 2 days?
A day.
So you work. So you think about it like that. Like, I'm working today for nothing. Today I'm working just to pay off my
slaving
tickets.
For the man.
That to me, that would after that's taxes, what gets me when I have to pay out like a ticket or something. Like, I think about it in
how much I have
to work for that. 2 days?
Yeah, 2 days. I was thinking before taxes. Brian brought it up. Is right.
2 days of work. Now I'm working 2 days just to pay these damn tickets. It's like nothing. Like, I'm in the hole again. Like,
but man, I got to wear no seatbelt those days.
He's still cool. He's still cool.
Okay, it's true.
There's no seatbelt.
It's true. He does look cool.
It's saying that it's being said in the Paltalk room by XRF tester that a seatbelt ticket is only $15 in Georgia. It's not 130, actually. It's like 70 or something like that. But when you forget to pay it and then put the fees on it, then it's 130.
Well, to be fair, those are 15 Confederate dollars.
That's true. Those are worth like what, 12
nothing
cents?
Up here.
12
yes.
cents.
Exactly. Worth absolutely nothing up here.
So do you have any more? Do you have any more of these?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's not about the seatbelt. It's about the fact that Best in Show predicts the future.
I like this.
We predict the future. Well, don't like
you
it too much.
Have a bumper for this. Could you come up with some sort of...
You're lucky that I actually pulled the audio, okay? And including one fake audio that had nothing to do with predicting the future.
It should be Best in Show predicts and then an echo on the future. You know, all spooky.
You know what?
The highlight zone.
Or something from, like, Back to the Future.
Allow me to point out, I barely woke up for the show. You think I'm going to do pre-production work, too? Come on. All right. Well, Best in Show predicts the future.
Da, 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 da.
The future. I've used the razor so many times and worried about it so many times in the past. I would have never thought with scissors that I'd snip.
Oh,
and
see,
snip.
I think just the opposite. Scissors is for the bold man. It's the
apparently
the, he's willing to like take a chance.
Maim himself.
Right.
Was there a razor going on, like an electric razor going on in the background?
You couldn't hear that? That was the call-a-thon. That was episode 200 of Best in Show, the call-a-thon, a magical evening where we all hung out and everyone listened to calls and magic.
I'm scared of this prediction. I'm already cringing.
Well, yeah, if you guys don't know, if you don't remember, that was talking about what I've affectionately referred to in my personal life as my mangle. I don't think I've referred to it as that on the air. But my mangle, back when I, in an attempt to groom my my genital region, when I actually snipped the base of my genitals with a scissor and talked about that. We talked about
it. It was AM, after mangle.
Right, yeah.
Not to be confused with PM.
No, well, PM is post-mangle, though.
Oh, post-mangle?
So I get very confused.
BC?
Before cutting, I guess, yeah. Oof. Nice. Well, whatever it was, that was
AD.
That was back
after,
that, yeah.
You know.
Depenisification.
Yes,
I thought he was going to say dark. So.
Oh, sorry. All right, I jumped a little too far. But yeah, no. So I had just cut myself. I just hurt myself, and I told the story.
That was a month or two ago, right?
It was something like that. A couple months back.
2 tickets ago.
Exactly. Okay. It was exactly 2 tickets. Actually, no. It was even longer than that. It was before the Labor Day event.
How many? What's up, kids?
What's up, kid? Heard something happen to you in your penis, kid. It was 3 tickets ago. It was 1 hotel rape ago. It was
1 yogurt.
It's 1 what's up, kid ago,
and 1 tip of his penis ago.
And sadly, it was 2 genital mangles ago.
Oh.
2 genital mangles ago. As
you didn't learn from the first time.
As I did not learn, because Best in Show predicts the future. This week in grooming news, I once again have managed to sever a piece of myself with scissors in my quest for vanity.
Welcome to Amateur Hour.
Obviously, Albert. I've got to pay closer attention to these things.
Are you doing it when you're high or something?
Like, when is this?
Well, why wouldn't I? When else do you want a clean, smooth area?
Do you just try to, like, really?
Are you stabbing it with a knife? Are you just?
Isn't that how you get the hair off? I thought that's how you get the hair.
Are you trying to challenge yourself by, like, doing it blindfolded or with your eyes closed, yeah, like something stupid like that?
I'm telling you honestly, it's. I don't even go super short. I don't even do anything crazy with it.
No, like lightning bolts.
Right. I'm not
like,
doing any. I'm not doing
style it. You're not gonna style it.
I'm not buzzing anything out. I'm using scissors.
You don't have so a Nike. You don't have a Nike swoosh.
Little dye job.
I regret asking this, but I'm going to regret asking this. But can you explain exactly what the injury like? Ooh.
What do you mean?
What happened? Like exactly? What?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'll get there. I'll get there. It's yeah. So I trim.
It's not the dingle or the dangle.
I trim with scissors. And the last time, my first injury was the base of my shaft was cut. And yes, now months removed from it, I have a scar there. I have a scar.
Ooh.
I have a scar at the base of my I'll show it to you.
How long? An inch? Half an inch?
I'm gonna say between a quarter and a half an inch.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like a circle of skin was removed, so there's like a white spot at the base. Oh. It's like a birthmark. It's kind of attractive,
like a chicken pock mark.
Yeah, kind of. It's exactly sort of what it looks. It is pretty round too. So yeah, so that was the original one, and I'm very careful now. I got to make a point. I don't do that anymore. And as I was trimming this time, I snipped my sack.
Oh, that's what I was. Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah, it was
that's the worst.
It was unpleasant. It was unpleasant, and I actually have a little I have a little problem, obviously.
What sound was that?
Wow, you guys were recording in the room right after I cut. That's odd. It's very, very odd.
Wow, it's funny you should say that. I am also a scissors man.
Oh.
And there was one time many, many years ago where I caught a little scrotum, and it was
but you let me go.
It was eye-crossingly painful, and it was like disgusting. It was skeevy. It was painful. There was a lot of blood. There was nothing good about the experience.
Well, allow me to point out that because of my previous experience. As soon as the ouchie started, I instantly stopped. So it was not nearly as bad as my first experience. And I will say that the sack definitely hurts much less than the shaft does.
Really?
Much, much less than the shaft does.
The shaft was the last one you did, right?
Right. First time.
Okay. And the shaft.
The ladder.
The one
from 2 months ago hurt a lot more than what I did this Monday.
Was it bloodier, though?
Yes, it was bloodier because I actually really hit it good. Like, I cut it good.
Not stitch worthy, though?
Maybe.
You're still bleeding, aren't you?
Whoa, you mean right now? No, the one from this week was not stitch worthy. The first one I probably should have gotten stitches for, but I didn't.
Now, do you try to cover this up and not say anything to the missus and, like, you know, play it all off? Because, like, isn't it so embarrassing?
I literally walked into the bedroom and woke her up to say, would you believe I cut myself again?
Did you have a tampon on it?
On it?
Shields.
Yeah, he took duct tape to it, the tampon.
No, I put the tampon in it.
Because you can't put a Band-Aid there.
I have a string dangling out of my ball.
You can put a Band-Aid on it.
When I did it to myself, I used one of those little styptic pens to stop the bleeding.
And they don't work always so well, but you know what?
Oh, boy, that really hurt.
See, it wasn't. That's what I did for the shaft, and it wasn't a problem.
If I remember correctly, this wouldn't help me now, but I know some of you in this room might be guys that have certain type of papers that you roll up. If you're to use those, from what I remember from years ago, they're pretty good.
$100 bills?
Yeah, they do.
The ones caked in blood from all the coke.
the ones you roll up now, not then.
They work. Rolling papers work good for cuts.
Yeah, whatever they're made of, they like absorb blood faster than anything, and they stop it.
Yeah, I can't.
Cigarette paper. That was the legal way to say it.
Rolling paper is not illegal. You
yes,
can
it is.
At a 7-Eleven.
Druggy.
Hippie. I just rub my bong against my cuts.
That's a good idea.
Cold bong.
Quarterize it.
Cold just bong.
No, not a cold one. Hot. Quarterize your whole.
Speaking of those septic pens, I...
Put a quarter on it.
Ew.
That's why you had problems.
It was a septic pen.
It was
a styptic pen.
Is it a septic?
It's not a septic pen.
That's something disgusting. I would not put anything septic near any sort of cut. That's a way to get an infection.
I had my belt was thrown up high on like a dresser, and I pulled it down, and the belt came cracking me in the forehead, and it cut my forehead. So then I'm like, all right, now how am I going to stop this? So I took one of those pens, and it was like, forget about it. I saw stars.
They hurt, right?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Your first problem, guys, is you don't put scissors near the privates. I mean, scissors are made for paper and for like cutting the top of the head.
You know what, Fred? I was gonna go on a little bit more about the magic of Best in Show predicts the future. But let's close the door on that segment. It was really fantastic to move on, and I will go right with you as we go into the next one. You're right. You do not put scissors near your genitals. I've learned my lesson, and I will never again bring scissors near my genitals. I need to now figure out what I got to do to get things trim and clean and nice.
Well, what about one of those things like Nair or something?
I've used Veet before, which is the same thing as Nair. It's a depilatory, but it's not the same.
It doesn't work.
You don't
as well,
want
right?
it bald, do you? You don't want absolutely no trace of any kind of growth.
I used to like shaving nice. I think it's nice, but the problem with that is it's a lot of work to maintain it.
If we all chipped in for a Christmas present, would you get electrolysis on your balls? Just the balls.
Why just the balls? Why couldn't I get it like on my...
No, because it's pay. You got to pay for like the square inch.
Can we Botox your balls?
I can't get it. I can't get like a...
Isn't it cheaper to do the shaft then?
I can't get a Hitler mustache or something like that.
Just the whole area. Could you could you do that? Could you get that electrolysis?
Of course you could.
There?
That's what it's for.
That's but not I thought what it was for.
I don't care what people
rougher areas like their arms and legs.
I don't care about people that make believe it's for their back hair. It's for your gunch.
Well, let me ask you something. If you don't now, if say we brainstorm here and can't figure out an alternative, when it comes down to it, will you just leave it and deal with the hair, or will you go back to a scissor or a razor?
After cutting myself twice inside of 3 months, I will not put a scissor near me again.
Get one of those.
But I've got to do something.
Get one of those Oster.
I have one. And obviously, they go blade I shaved
one.
My head.
You could do blade one down there.
What if it's a day where you're feeling a little sick and you got sick balls, you know, and maybe your sack is a little bit like
hanging,
like chewy bubble gum, and it's dangling about and around. It could get caught in there. We have a friend that actually has gone to the hospital and did actually have to get stitches for it.
Got a remedy.
What's that? Wait till you're better.
Splash some cold water on it. It's sure and come right up. And then you go for it. You got to get them cold. You got to get it cold.
And you run that thing over the cold balls.
Yes, because they're shriveled up. You can't get them when they're hot. You got to sprinkle the cold water on them. They're right back up. And then you do it.
Can you make that sound again?
Right back up.
Our buddy Dan in NorCal is actually sending me a message saying, what about a Flowbee? I think that the suction from the vacuum of the Flowbee might take my sack right into that snipper,
right.
Too.
You want to call an electrolysis place in California that's still open and ask them if they do the groin?
No, of course they do. I don't want to
they
know.
They don't. I don't think they do, man. I think it's too sensitive of an area. I don't
they
think
definitely
they,
do.
They're not going to do like the sack, I don't think.
And we're not flying Chris to California.
I would say I wish we had a friend that actually worked in some sort of hair removal industry so I could talk to them about it, do things and learn.
Like I said, I've always been a scissors man, and I have only recently started. I used the hair stuff, the buzzer, the clippers at home for the top of my head half a year ago or something like that.
Right.
And I figured I'd give it a gander down on the bottom of my down there, and recently,
why? What's wrong with saying crotch? My hairy, disgusting
my
crotch.
Hair. My pubic hair.
What, on your face? Yeah. Or?
No, on my armpits.
Oh, okay.
I actually did try to use it with the razors, and I guess I was a little concerned about a snag up, if you will.
Right.
And to overcome that, I stretched it. I like Ooh. Pulled the skin tautly yes, exactly. And there's a lot of I didn't realize how much play there was.
Crevasses.
There.
There are lots of crevices and
a lot of pulling. There's a lot
nooks
of,
and crannies, as it were.
I felt like I could have pulled it up over my head with enough maneuvering. But it worked, I will say. It did work. That said, not as controlled. Like, it's chunky now. Like, it's kind of, like, it's
didn't
not.
Snap back, you're saying?
No, the hair. Style was much more, when I had the scissors, I was able to, it looked prettier. Now it's kind of like a lawnmower got to it or something. It's all over the place.
Irish Curse is suggesting that I should call the hair removal helpline and see if Keith will answer the phone to give me some advice. That's my favorite.
Why
thing
would
I've
that
read.
Be seasonal, though?
It's the hair removal season.
Well, I tell you know what, Chris?
Steve LaLarpin says it's time to de-hair for winter, obviously.
You know what? I think I may have the answer, so why don't you call up right now?
Okay, hold on. Ring, ring.
1 second, I'm texting.
Jesus
no,
Christ.
I really do have the answer, though.
Okay. Ring, ring.
Okay. Hello, sir. How can I help you?
Caller, turn your radio down.
Hi, I need to learn how to remove hair from my genitals. What do I do? Is that not the way to present the question?
Well, we certainly have some help for you in that area, if you just give me a social security number.
Oh, I gotta go.
Personal shavers and trimmers, also known as pubic hair shavers and trimmers, even though they're not, are devices that have been specifically designed to remove unwanted pubic hair on private parts, including testicles. Those little things like those ear hair trimmers, apparently the teeth are so close together that you can't really hurt yourself and you can use them on there.
Ooh.
No, I think that they make them that are, instead of them being circular, they're...
Oh, so actual ones designed for that, you mean? Okay,
like
even better.
Fittings or something on there that you can...
Bearings.
Bearings?
Do your ass, your balls,
these are fittings, so
your
just
ears,
bearings,
and then your nose last.
obviously.
Your tongue.
It smells great. This smells just like my mic screen at the show. It's weird.
Just use the shaver from now on, dude. Do yourself a favor.
Well, I've got to be honest. What I'm thinking of doing instead is I'm actually considering waxing. Oof. I'm actually considering waxing. Oh. And Dr. X actually made a joke in the chat room about I should get a Brazilian, I think was the suggestion in there, which I'd be down
for. What is
that?
I don't even know what that is.
The
I've always heard
crack, too.
It's where they get it all. They get rid of all the hair, make it all clean and nice down
they
there.
They wax, a Brazilian wax is when they coat it with, they coat the pubic area with wax and then have the piece of paper that sticks to it and then they rip the piece of paper off and out comes all the hair with
but
it.
But it's all of it from
I
the
thought they just speak Portuguese.
From the top of the ass crack to the top of the pubic bone. Like, they get it all. The taint, the crack.
Yeah, they don't leave a little bit of, like a landing strip. There's no little heart. It's just all gone.
Is that because
they have, like... I just thought it meant that I was going to be bottomless hanging out with Julie from Pal Talk. It was like a Brazilian thing. But
Chris, is that because they have bottomless beaches in Brazil?
Yeah,
is that why
I guess. You wear the thongs and stuff like that. But, Chris, I bet you that's more painful than your nipple ring that you got. And you said that was the most painful thing that you ever got.
Well, that was before the mangles. It was before the mangles.
Really? The nipple ring pales in comparison?
No, I would make jokes.
The nipple ring was the worst.
One of the nipple rings was unbelievably painful. The other one was horrendous.
Okay.
Really? You know, was okay.
I didn't think that would be that painful.
Yeah, it sucked. It sucked pretty bad.
That's true.
Not as bad as a Brazilian wax would. I think that in that like very tender of an
so.
Area
for that
ooh.
To be that popular. Well, although I don't know, ripping
women
using
go through childbirth.
Yeah, but not only that, using tweezers to rip eyebrows out is eyebrow hairs is pretty bad, and people do it.
Bigwell is suggesting in the Pal Talk room that I should do it on the show. That I should wax myself on the show. I don't
want
to do.
I don't want that to happen either.
I don't want to do 40-year-old virgin here on the show. But I kind of would like to actually learn the proper way to wax and do things like that.
Dude, I got candles.
The whole thing candles. Is it's not the same kind of wax though. I had friends of mine were actually sending me the best Sally Hansen products to use today, and I am, so I'm learning. I think I'm going to do it.
Chris, I'm telling you right here, the Body Bear Shaver, they have it. They have some special offers here. You can get free with the Lady Fair for $59.99.
Get out of here.
The Brazilian package, or you can go all the way to the Night to Remember package for $105.
Jeez, what's that?
Wait, these are at the place?
You Titanic, your balls.
But this is something you could buy, or I go to a place to actually get
it. It's something you buy online. Oh, I guess you could probably buy it at like some sort of like sexy shopper image.
It's an item. It's not a.
It's
not
an
a
item,
service.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. The Night to Remember is a service.
I would assume. That's what it sounds like.
There's something else going on in there. I really wonder what a Night to Remember.
I'm
going to
try to find out right now. It's going to take me a bit.
I mean, I would think Brazilian. It really doesn't get any.
I tell you right before that, the Girls Just Gotta Have Fun package might be what you're looking for also.
I'll be –
Girls – explain that one.
I don't.
It's a Cyndi Lauper song. It was
it,
really,
it says
really good.
One long dong silver necklace. I don't know what that means.
Oh, boy.
I'm starting to regret going to this website.
Yeah. Wait, so
when there's other people around.
So you're just getting me vibrators. You're buying me vibrators and somehow turning that into
a men. Oh, I see. They give you the feminine trimmer and the liquid O-tube, whatever that is.
Yeah, this is sex toys that you're doing.
It says it's personalshavers.com, though.
But what else? Obviously, it's a sexy, fun time.
/ sex toys.
They don't have one picture of a shaver,
Well, they
though.
Figure that's why you're doing it, you know? They don't think that there's weirdos like us that are doing it because, like, we have weird aversions to hair down there.
And that's the other thing. My other problem with actually getting any sort of hair removal done and actually going to a professional to get it done is it seems so embarrassing not to be nude in front of anyone because I don't care. I'll lay it on the line in front of anybody. I don't care about that. It's like the fact that there's some sort of vanity that I care about. Like, yeah, you got to make sure that I keep this thing attractive looking, baby. Come on, take care of it for me. I think it's so stupid. It's embarrassing to me. It makes me feel bad. But I don't want to be hairy. I don't want to have a hairy nug-nugs. It's disgusting.
Go back to the scissors. Just be careful. What are you doing wrong with
that? I try.
Stop using machetes or something. What
is
going on?
I use scissors. I use regular hair trimming scissors, and they're long. They're too long, and they snip.
Get some short ones.
Straight edge. That's what I would do.
Not to go for an obvious
joke. No, I'm going to be drunk. I'm going to be wasted when I'm doing it. I'm not going straight edge.
Not to go for an obvious joke here, but suppose you like got nude in front of them to do it, and it's a girl doing it, and she said to you, "Wow, why are you even bothering?"
But that's what the thing is. I think that they will, not because my wang is so small. Like, the fact of the matter is, like,
said it looking at your face. You mean
right, exactly? Like, I'm a big, giant, hideous, fat guy. Like, why? Why would I?
Wait a minute.
On your face.
Steve DeLoppa has a good question here. You know, did Chris really start shaving after he lost his weight?
No, Steve. I've been shaving my genitals.
Now that you could see it.
No. I've been shaving my crotch since I'm like 16, 17 years old. Probably.
You know. You brought up the razor. I used to do that. Put shaving cream directly on it. You pull up, tighten, and go across it with the razor. It's scary as hell to do. I'll tell you that much right now.
Keith was asking if I will accept Jesus as my personal shaver.
It's scary to do that, and I never had any incidents. Luckily,
had problems doing it with a razor. I did it with a razor for years. But it's just so labor-intensive to have to do it so
because
often.
You have to pay. I've cut myself so much shaving my head and my face that after a while it's just like, oh, I can't do this anymore because this is going
to
end bad.
Let me ask you a question, though. Don't you have to prep the mechanical device in order to get to certain areas? Like, you can't be flaccid and, you know.
Of course you can. I don't know about you, dude. I don't have hairy shaft. I have hairy everything
else.
Well,
I'm talking about around, you know, around the ring around the.
You pull
that's
everything
no problem.
Up.
No,
you just turn. There's
a lot. Yeah, you tighten everything.
There's a lot of. That's what I was talking about.
You just pull it. You move it around. You definitely don't need to be aroused.
Or you listen to this conversation and everything just tightens and disappears.
Obviously. Yeah, I got to do something about it.
If you really are thinking wax, I mean, maybe the answer. The first answer is Nair. Like, you try some chemical treatment.
I did
first.
That. I've done that, and it's still labor intensive because it doesn't take the hair down. It does the same thing as a shave. The problem with it is your hair is right at skin level. Then it just depletes it right there. So it like
oh,
a
really?
Day later
I thought it would eat the
no. A day later you're growing back in, and then you have your back with the same problem. Oh, it's just, oh yes, I'll hire a day laborer to take care of it. I don't know if there's an interest. Ridiculous. If anyone cared enough, maybe I'll do it like as a private podcast, which I think could get me in trouble. I have no problem.
Is it a private podcast?
But I have no problem doing it in a public arena. I just don't know that this show is that arena. I think that's a little inappropriate. It would make people feel badly about it.
I think the easy answer is to get a different pair of scissors.
On the fourth day of Christmas, Chris gave to me 4 penis mangles, 3 seatbelt tickets, 2 drapery bed things, and 1 kid, how you doing? Sorry, I missed that earlier from my buddy Keith, but I just had to say that. I don't know. I'll figure something out. I'll wax something out. I'll make it all clean and nice, just like this show, Best in Show Radio, here on Hear Us Talk, the thing you do with your ears. And hey, how you doing, kid?
You're listening to Best in Show on HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
5, 2, 3, 1.
You're listening to Best in Show on Heroes Talk. This is DJ Newstyle from the DJ Newstyle Show. Make sure you're checking out our exclusive Tuesday night programming on HearUsTalk.com, or you might miss something like this.
Okay, this is the DJ Newstyle Show. A couple of guys talking about refreshing feelings that occur in your anus.
I don't mind a burning anus. I prefer... No. This is what I'm saying. I prefer a burning anus to an itchy anus.
Wow. I never prefer a burning anus. I don't know about you. I don't ever want my anus to feel as though it's something that's being engulfed in flames.
The DJ New Style Show is live every Tuesday, 9 to 11 p.m. on Heroes Talk. That's heroestalk.com. And in Pal Talk, the Heroes Talk radio chat room. The DJ New Style Show is proud to be a member of the Heroes Talk radio network.
Bro. Sup, kid? I've been wanting to hang out and check some things out on the internet. I want to talk to people, but I don't know what to use, kid. What should I do?
Bro.
What should I use, kid?
I can't even look at your face while you do that. You know what I think you should use? You should use ICU2.
What's ICU2, kid?
ICU2 is award-winning internet chat software. You sit home, right? You're sitting home anyway. Let's face it. You're not going out. You go home, you turn on your computer. If you have ICU2.com, if you go to ICU2.com, you download, get a free trial of the software. There's millions of people out there on ICU2 waiting to talk to you.
Is that an actual number? This is Chris. I'm going to interrupt you from talking to what's up, kid. But yeah, it can't be millions. Really?
There's no limit on who can own ICU2.
Oh my god, this really might be the greatest.
There could be billions, honestly.
This might be the greatest program ever in the history of the world. So you just.
That's why it wins awards.
How do I. What are you. Awards?
The 2009 People's Choice Award winner for Best Internet Communication Software.
Of all time.
Of all time.
Unbelievable.
And it might as well be of all time because ICU2 is older than all the others.
Talk to me. Excuse me. Yo, what's up, kid? I was talking to me. Yeah, we're done with you. Just hit the road. I got to talk to Keith here. We got to figure this out. Keith, how do I get this ICU2? What do I got
to
do?
What I want you to do is go to ICU2. And when I say two, I mean the number two. ICU2.com.
What? That's weird because it means like I see you also, but there's a number. It's like multifaceted.
Oh, that's why it's called that.
It's weird. It's cool.
Go to ICU2.com. Download a free trial.
I'm going to click download.
You're going to click download?
PC machine?
A PC machine.
I'm going to get it.
A Windows PC machine.
All
not
right.
A politically correct machine.
Well, mine is both.
You're going to install it. You're going to use it. And
multifaceted, like two. There's two
I thought
uses.
You say multifaceted, kid.
Good. I was.
You're going to love it. You're going to talk to people. You're going to talk to people you want to talk to. If there's people you don't want to talk to, hey, guess what? You don't have to. You just get rid of them.
Oh,
you block them right out.
Hey, I'm going
to... Adults. You're going to talk to lots and lots of adults. That's all I'm going to say.
Ooh, it sounds sexy. ICU2.com. Check it out, guys. It's really fantastic. Enjoy it. Do some video stuff. It's ICU2.com. Come on, kid. Exactly. Exactly. It's Best in Show. BestinShowRadio.com here on Heroes Talk. Magic, Wonderland, Fantasy Cavalcade, all that garbage here. Looking to talk about, things, stuff.
When we came back in there, we were listening to Pavement.
Yeah.
Oh. Pavement, that's from an album called Wowie Zowie, which is one of my favorite albums of all time. And Pavement, how would you classify Pavement?
They're an indie rock band.
As an indie rock band.
I would call them indie rock band.
But under the umbrella of rock?
Well, yeah. Well, everything falls under the
disco.
Umbrella of rock for
no,
the most part.
No, it doesn't.
You don't think?
No.
If you really
rave,
talk in general
techno,
terms.
When there's classical, that doesn't...
Which are... Go through them again.
Like techno music would fall under rock?
Techno is a division of rock, I think.
You really? Classical music, division of rock?
Oh, no. All right. Maybe not. Classical music isn't a division of rock. I'll give you that one.
Like, what about like a world, that world type of music? Like Michael Jackson. Would you say consider Michael Jackson
a
rock?
Division of rock? 100%.
Yeah, really?
It's pop rock.
I mean, it's not more like a Motown R&B type thing.
Which is rock.
Yeah, you think?
Which is a division of rock and or roll.
I think what you're saying, Chris, is that pretty much pop music all comes from rock. It's a rock and roll. Pop music is sort of defined just by rock and roll.
Jazz?
Kind of break
I think jazz is a rock music?
Yeah, I think there's a large part of rock and roll involved in jazz.
Really?
It came out of that, yeah.
Well, rock came out of jazz, you mean?
I would say just the opposite, actually.
Really?
I would say jazz probably came from sort of like rock and roll guitar type stuff.
I don't look into history that far. I only look for where our show predicts the future. I don't know about anything that far. I would say that everything is rock and roll to me. It's still just rock and roll to me.
Well, I'm not. I've never.
Go on.
I've never been like a big. Well, I guess I have to an extent. Like a lot of like the popular indie rock bands. I've having like Pavement is an example of one that I've been a big fan of in my life. But I mean, I have genres of music that I like.
Rock?
Specifically, there's all types of rock and roll that I like.
Okay, cool.
It's funny that you mention that because one of them is new wave, and I guess you can categorize
which is indie rock.
Synth pop. Or,
really? I don't think that's rock.
But new wave doesn't go under rock. On if AOL has radio stations, and new wave is actually under alternative now. But,
AOL,
but it's all rock.
AOL says it. I believe it. That settles it. I base my entire life on what AOL classifies things as.
But like new wave and I guess like psychedelia. Or if you want to call it, that's a harder one.
Psychedelia. Remember that chick? Yeah. She used to be a nut.
But have you ever like had a type of music you love, but like not particularly liked certain bands that other people that love that music? Maybe the more popular. But I guess in a general way, it's to say, yeah, I love rock, but I don't like the Beatles. But in that case, you'd be stupid, so I wouldn't necessarily
use
that as an example. But like, I guess for an example of what I'm trying to say is I love new wave music. I love new wave music a lot.
You're always just trying to say that. That's always basically what you're trying to get to. Hey, guys, just, you know, let's cut to the chase. I love new wave.
I couldn't hate Devo more than I do.
And then the new wave band going.
Can I just say that's really, really effing weird because our buddy The Hutch this week was just going crazy saying, like, hey, man, you got to do me a favor. You got to get me some Devo records. I really got to start listening to Devo a lot. Like, out of nowhere. Like, in 2009, in the same week that this guy decides that he needed me to get him some Devo, and get him Devo I did, that you're talking about how you don't like Devo.
Did they write The Girl You Want?
Yeah, and that's not a bad song.
It's a great song.
But, like,
it's
I guess
that's the best song, I think.
I've listened to Devo a lot, and The Pretenders are one of the bands that people talk about. Oh, one of the best new wave bands ever. I could not be more bored listening to The Pretenders. I hate to say it, The Cars, I'm not a big fan of at all. Mm-hmm. They just kind of bore me. Like
just the Cars, I don't care for.
The Cars are a great band. You're nuts.
They're okay. They have some good songs, but
I don't care for them. I don't think I could come up with one song that I actually enjoy by them.
You know that one song, the In Cars, dear, dear.
Yes, that's my favorite song by him.
When Gary Newman was in The Cars, they were a better band. But
it's a great song.
I have stuff like that. Like, I'm into punk rock music. I'm not really that into The Clash. And I think The Clash would be considered punk rock. Not the
Just What I Needed? Really?
It was a good song.
You're Just What I Need. No, that's terrible. I got to be honest. If you were going to tell me the kind of – if you had to pick the genre that you liked more than anything, I would have never thought that punk rock would be the first thing that would come to mind.
I love all genres of music.
Dude, I like all kinds of music. I like all music. That's what I'm into.
Except for the black guy.
I thought you were big into alt music.
But
I like alt rock.
I just never got into The Clash for some reason, and I love
really. That's also madness. I mean, that's
no. He likes madness. He doesn't like The Clash.
Oh, then you should die. You should be set on fire. If you are a madness fan and you don't like The Clash, you should just kill yourself.
Both new wave bands.
And I can't. But it's hard for me to fathom anyone who doesn't like The Clash. I mean, someone who even hates music should still like The Clash. Is a phenomenal band.
Ustreamer 30347 is asking, have you never heard The Clash?
I've heard The Clash. I've heard London
just don't
Calling
care.
And whatever else.
Wow, that record you could say you've listened to and don't love it.
No, I don't love it. That's, I don't love it.
I'm sorry. Ustreamer 30347 wasn't asking that. Ustreamer 30347 was saying that they'd never heard of The Clash.
Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
That's a different story. Yeah. I can't say go get a Clash record because I really don't like them. I mean, one of these guys.
Go get Combat Rock. Yeah, and anyone can't not like Combat Rock.
Casey Elon is suggesting that the Paltrow Group not liking the Clash is legit because they screwed over a lot of good people and stuff like that. And it's not even about that. You're saying on a purely musical level
purely
you don't
musical.
Like the Clash.
Never got into them. Not going to say dislike them.
Don't hate them.
Don't hate them. Never.
Just don't like them.
Exactly.
And considering that you're a punk rock guy, so it's not like you don't have the access to them if you want. They never tickled your fancy.
Well, I have to say, I love classic rock. Love classic rock. Love all like the 60s hippie stuff. Hate the Grateful Dead. Never got into the Grateful Dead, and they're probably the most hippie.
Well, allow me to point
classic
out
rock
bands the Grateful Dead is maybe the worst band that's ever existed.
Right.
So there's a reason.
But
to not like them.
Even with the band around.
I'm going to tell you that the band is a billion times better. First of all, I actually like the band. But
you like classic rock music. You like music from that generation.
Sure.
That's just one of
the Grateful Dead are terrible. The Grateful Dead are one step above, or I guess depending on your perspective, below Creedence Clearwater Revival and like worst bands of all time. Hate them.
But this is like, I mean, I'm not going to get into like particular bands that I don't like, because that's what we're talking about here. Keith is talking about genres.
I think we are actually talking about specific bands.
And it's, well, it is. It's basically if you love a genre, and Blondie's another one. I don't like Blondie, and like, and it's funny. You look at like, you look at. They'll say like, the you know, the new wave classic bands, and then they'll list The Cause, Devo, Blondie, and The Pretenders, and they just, I don't know. I can't. I can't really get into those bands.
Love
just,
alternative rock. I can't get into Pearl Jam, and they're the most alternative rock band going. I just never got into them. Just never, and they, you know, they were huge.
I have a hard time. I have a hard time being confused by not liking it, because I've never really thought of it as saying like, hey, I'm a big punk rock fan, I'm a big indie rock fan.
You're a big music fan.
But because there's lots of things in
hardcore.
There's lots of things in all of these groups of music that I can't stand. I wouldn't call myself like I'm a hardcore fan, because the thing is, there's tons of hardcore that I can't stand.
But think about the most...
How about New York hardcore in particular? I hate Sick of It All. I'm the one guy that loves a lot of those bands. I don't like Sick of It All.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that you have to love every band, but if there's a particular genre that you listen to a lot, and then when people start throwing out the most popular bands from that, and like a bunch of them, you're just saying like, yeah, I really don't like those. That's a perfect example. Sick of It All. And
but the thing is, I would never think like, hey, I'm a hardcore guy and I like a lot of hardcore music, because there's a lot of bands within a group that I don't particularly care for. That was the first one that came to mind. Like all those old hardcore bands, like I don't care. I'm not a Youth of Today fan. I guess sort of a hardcore guy, but I don't think I am.
Do you think there's a lot of people out there like that are big metal fans that hate Slayer?
They're idiots. I can't imagine a human being that doesn't love Slayer. I think they're maybe the greatest band ever. No, I can't imagine you. I can't imagine you existing. Love them. I was listening to God Hates Us All, and Random Blood all week this week. It's terrific. I'm 16, by the way. I thought I mentioned that. I'm 16 years old, and I carve bands' names into my desk, so I like to hang.
For me, that's always been kind of the thing, actually. I think I'm naturally prejudiced for or against genre bands. Like when I find out that a band is sort of like a genre-defining band, I just naturally, even before I know anything about their music, I kind of already hate them.
You turned off by them already?
Yeah. For the most part, if there is any band that fits specifically into the genre.
Does that diagnosis happen before you're introduced to the band?
Sort of, like a lot. Like,
is it commercialized that way? Like, hey, this is the newest indie of the indie.
Particularly
bands.
When it's like this kind of music is starting to get popular, and it's all because of this. Like I had it. There's, I would say the exception is every once in a while there's just bands out there that, you know, fit this mold that I actually like. And I end up liking them because I started off just having to hate them, but I just had to admit that they're great musicians, that they're great bands. Nirvana was a big thing for me with that one. Like, I just naturally wanted to hate Nirvana because they're this genre-defining alternative. You know, they sort of took – back when college rock – it was called college rock. They were changing it into this alternative rock, and they sort of defined what it was made of. And anyone who sort of listened to it right before then hated that whole scene, and I just wanted to despise them completely. They're just a fantastic band.
A lot of people are agreeing with you. Earth Dog is agreeing with you in the Pal Talk room. We got some people agreeing with you in the Earth Dog room that Nirvana's a big thing, a big one that people didn't want to like because of that.
Smashing Pumpkins is the same thing. Yeah. I want to despise that band. I still do. I still want to hate that band, but
Siamese Dream is one of the
it's
best.
It's just a fantastic
going.
Album. Well, and it's great stuff.
Well, don't you think those good bands that you really like can't be defined, like they go above and beyond. Like,
no.
I love, really?
I think every band
I love
fits
Van
into
Halen. And Van Halen has rock songs.
Hard rock band.
But no, they, yeah. no, they
they're
don't.
A hard rock
they
band.
They have great ballads. They have.
Which is part of hard rock.
Yeah, that's part of. That's I would there's say they're no, a genre defying band almost.
There's no such yeah. thing. There isn't a ballad that exists that wasn't done by a hard rock band.
Do you think the Beatles were rock and roll? Don't you think they were more than that?
I understand that I'm breaking my own rule in saying it, and I understand Brian will instantly disagree with me on it. The Beatles are probably the one band that I think are so big and important and huge that they transcend being classified as anything.
Any
they can be classified. I refuse to do it because they are the Beatles.
I don't think you're saying they could be classified. I think you're saying a song could be classified. Helter Skelter could be classified as a rock and roll song, but a Yesterday can be described as a totally different band.
The Beatles are
infinitely better than the second best one, but they are a rock band, yeah. Period. A pop band, maybe even.
Especially, I mean, that's how they started. You know, like that's.
Yes.
And granted, they did all their. I mean.
Oh, jeez. I was so excited that Casey was getting involved in the show and being a friend, but now she's saying that she prefers the Monkees over the Beatles. I'm kind of disgusted.
Ooh.
I'm absolutely disgusted.
I don't prefer them.
I might actually smash my face into this computer screen right now so I don't have to see those words anymore.
I prefer the Beatles, but I mean, I think.
Daydream Believer, bro?
The Monkees.
And she's actually saying
most...
that. I'm not even saying they're a bad band. I'm saying they're fantastic. They're not the Beatles. Stop it.
Horrible TV show.
They're also not really the
band.
Oh,
come on. It's not a horrible TV show.
It's horrible.
And they, yes, Brian, they were a band.
Okay,
I'm sorry, but they were a band. I understand they were
band
put together.
A rock band or folk band?
Last Train to Clarksville, sure.
Rock
good
band
stuff.
Or folk band?
Even the songs they wrote themselves were great. Great songwriter.
Half of their career, they did, in fact, record the music that you're listening to and even write some of those songs. But, you know.
Their best songs weren't written by them, I'll admit that. Well,
or,
I don't know. Mike
nor
Nesmith
were they played by them in the studio, nor were they played by them on the stage. So, I mean, were they... the Monkees, or were they four monkees sitting in front of...
Eventually they became the Monkees.
All right.
They became the Monkees. So. They grew into it.
Whatever they are, they're a rock band. They're a rock band, and I don't think that you... To say rock band and throw a rock band out there, it's impossible to go into Keith's thing of saying that oh, I like this genre, and it's like rock is so all-encompassing. There's going to be tons of rock that people like and don't like.
You can almost say it, because, I mean... Led Zeppelin, Aerosmith, and I was trying to think of another one that I always hear named as like rock when people say the rock.
Creed.
I really like either
Creed.
One of those bands.
Aerosmith is terrible. Aerosmith might be the
I've never
seventh
been, I could
worst
appreciate
band of all
that
time.
Led Zeppelin is okay, I guess, good, but like I
amazing.
Don't know, I'm not a big
Led
fan.
Led Zeppelin's great.
Fantastic.
As long as you don't listen to any lyrics they ever sing. It's
no, you
amazing,
should.
Amazing
you
should
and giggle to yourself. Just giggle
There's
about
a bustle in my hedgerow right now.
Just think about a hermit, but not even that stupidity, just the stupidity of like weird hermits and dudes with like, you know, swords and whatnot.
I love that stuff.
If you have the capacity to listen to a voice as an instrument and ignore every word that's coming out of that person's voice, you will love Led Zeppelin because their freaking songs are just ridiculous. It's like a 12-year-old. It's like a 12-year-old Tolkien nerd sitting at home like playing Dungeons and Dragons and writing rock music.
The music is great.
Oh, but the music is fantastic.
It's amazing. Zeppelin 2 specifically. Yeah. Listen to that record beginning to end. I could listen to that over and over again all day.
It's good.
The Monkees were the perfect example. I think they are the prototypical rock band for a reason. I mean, they... literally are a formula. Like people went out of their way to make this band mm-hmm. fit to a very confined different roles, and
like the Backstreet Boys before the Backstreet Boys.
And they took all of the people, the burgeoning ideas, the artists who were actually part of the Monkees who were saying, no, I want to take it this direction. No, that does not fit this mold. Yeah. We're going to do this. And yeah, they I mean, that's rock music.
The soon-to-be Mrs. Keith, the Mrs., asking in the chat, what about Black Sabbath? How do you guys feel about Black Sabbath? If I'm going to say, much like the Beatles, I feel like that's a band that everyone should just love. And I don't understand not loving Black Sabbath and not thinking that they're fantastic.
I only started listening to like the first album very recently. And I like that a lot. And I guess Paranoid is the second album. After that, I honestly got to plead ignorance because I don't really know much about them.
You don't need to know
that.
Much more. That's okay. You can get away with those first two records. That's fine.
Not too into it.
You need the first one.
Not too into it. Not too into it.
Wait, just Paranoid?
Yeah.
The first record is Black Sabbath.
Right. Fine.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
So you're saying you don't even need Paranoid?
Yeah, Paranoid. No, I'm saying you could just take Paranoid. That's pretty much.
Oh, see, I think the first record's more important. But that's okay. That's neither here nor there.
Another genre that people it's been labeled as progressive rock, and I love Yes and King
Prog
Crimson.
Prog
rock. I love Yes and King Crimson, and I always
Rush.
Have. But that's the thing. People will bring up Rush, like some band Dream Theater, Kansas.
Awful.
I can't
great.
Listen to Rush. Rush has some songs I like, I guess. But
do you like Coheed and Cambria?
I don't know who they are.
It's a new band that they like. You know, he has a high voice like that.
There's
it's
a band called the Mars Volta that people
Coheed
call like
and Cambria.
Yeah,
Mars Volta. You
but
know,
there's a
new prog rock. But like,
but
I'm talking about the older ones, like Dream Theater. I think
they just have high voices. They're not prog rock.
Our friend Larry will hate me forever, but Marillion I think is terrible.
Oh,
I don't know
God.
Who that is.
I totally agree with that one.
I don't even know what
that's
that
like
is.
Art rock. That's like art prog.
See, I don't even I don't know what it even is. What it could be like?
Isn't that arg?
That's pirate rock.
Oh, sorry, I get it all confused.
It's prog.
Yeah, but there's a weird type of like Yoko Ono type of plastic band, like art like type.
The Yoko Ono type of plastic band is one of my favorite bands.
You know, it's a good genre. It's a good genre.
There are those art type music that just, you know, there are just random sounds that come out.
I'll say
you mean,
this
you
much.
Mean the WFMU stuff?
Yeah, you know.
Okay.
Just, love it.
I'll tell you this much. Yoko Ono has an album that John Lennon swears he didn't write the songs, or and that's not him obviously playing guitar on it, but some of the songs are really good.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And she limits herself, you know. She doesn't go too crazy on her vocal stylings. But you know.
Yeah, her vocals aren't the best.
But the songs
I have
are good.
To agree with that.
Really?
Because,
I don't believe that.
Because I guess she wrote brilliant songs, and when, you know. I guess John was sitting in the other room watching TV, and she was sitting in that room writing these brilliant songs.
The game was on. You think John Lennon's going to come in and do anything with music when the game's on?
I guess the one thing that I do have, the genre that I think is I think it does sort of separate itself. It's within pop music. It's sort of distant from rock music. It just was. It was sort of like a sea change, I guess. There was that much of a change that it became its sort of own little cosmology. Was like hip hop to me, and for that reason, I kind of do rap music. There are people who define that genre who people insist are the best parts of it, and these are like the most popular things who I hate.
Can I say it?
Go, you can go and see if we meet up to them.
Do you want to go first?
All right, I'll hit you with one. First and foremost, I think we've actually had this discussion before. I don't know if it's on air or off air. Tupac needs to kill himself.
He's terrible.
Oh, wait, that's he's dead.
Maybe.
That's right.
Maybe he terrible. Needs to do
Tupac's
it again.
Tupac's awful. He's Tupac terrible. Is the worst, like, musician, the worst he writer. Might be, his vocals suck. He's not a creative musician. He's a bad musician.
He's an icon
and he's
for
revered.
Whatever reason.
He's awful. Revered.
And there's a thing to him that like, and I understand the style of him and the fashion of him and being into that. As far totally. As an artist, he's terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
He's 100% terrible. Okay, you ready for this one?
All right, go ahead.
This is the one that's gonna rock the very foundation of our life. And make people hate me more than they already do. I hate Run DMC. Thank you. Good night.
Really?
I hate
I think
Run
that's,
DMC.
That's going a little too far. But I have one that's just like that. Ice-T sucks.
Ice-T's pretty bad.
Ice-T's a badass.
I didn't even mean it that
He's
way.
He's a really cool guy. His music is just not good. I don't want that to be the case.
I will say that I didn't.
Music.
I didn't hate Body Count. I didn't hate them. I didn't like them, but I didn't hate them.
That's tough. That's
I
tough.
Wanted to like. I will say the Body Count.
That's pretty bad. Man.
Body Count is a better rock band than Ice-T is a hip hop band.
Yeah,
I wanted Body Count right. never to come into my brain again, and you just brought it up. That's what I wanted to forget that.
BC, BC, oh, BC.
I mean, there's some easy ones like DMX. I think
Rob, put on Cop Killer. I know that's your favorite DMX. Jam. Throw that thing on right now.
There's exceptions for Ice-T. There's some good Ice-T songs, but generally speaking, I think he's a subpar musician. And not because he can't play music. It's just technically or artistically not very creative guy.
Didn't Ice-T, besides the fact that Colors was brilliant, but...
Colors is one of those great songs, and it deserves the popularity.
By the way, Big Well is asking, how could you hate that Run DMC Aerosmith video? Those are two terrible bands together. Two terrible tastes that taste terrible together.
Steven Tyler quit. Actually, he quit Aerosmith.
Run DMC? He's out of the band?
No. Steven Tyler actually quit Aerosmith this week.
I guess
Adidas? You didn't, I mean...
I think, you know what it is with me? I remember
when
the first Run DMC album came out, being all excited to get it. And so I guess still in my head, I feel like, I mean, look, if you want to...
Yeah, that's madness. I guess
it's kind of saying, if you want to compare, like, you know, I Want to Hold Your Hand to Sgt. Pepper, you may say, like, well, yeah, it's so amateurish, you know, as compared to...
I cannot enjoy listening to Run DMC. I think I might like two songs. I like My Adidas,
Pete Rock Piper. Box.
Peter Piper.
Yeah. I'm bored of kid. They don't do it for me. I'm sorry.
Raising Hell is even great. That album.
Raising Hell.
I'm
Keith,
not a fan.
That is stretching it.
All right.
I even liked Pause, which I think was like 1996 or something.
I definitely did love Down with the King. I'll say that. I love Down with the King.
Some other bad ones that I might get looked down upon for hating in hip hop. N.W.A.
Wow, I love Straight Outta Compton.
I'm sure you do.
I love that record.
I think the second one's much better. I think
What's the name of that
Compton.
One?
I have no problem
straight
saying
into Compton.
So
straight into Compton. Okay.
I don't think that straight. I don't think that Straight Out of Compton is very good.
I like that album a lot.
It's, I think, and I think I did when it came out too. But that's one thing I went back to recently, and I listened to it, and I was like, wow, this is absolute garbage. This
it really
is so bad.
The production value is pretty low. They had all the money in the world too, and they made like
I like filthy crap. I like the over the top, shocking, ridiculous rap stuff. But it's the same thing as the Ghetto Boys. I love that stuff. I love the Ghetto Boys. I love NWA. It definitely isn't what I would consider. NWA you might consider classic.
Well, that's why I think NWA is a hard one because I mean, plenty of people dislike the Ghetto Boys, you know, and Luke Skywalker and all that crap. It's the fact that NWA is huge.
You're not a Band in the USA fan?
Wait. Really?
I also hate Snoop.
I think that's a generational thing more because I hate all rap after 1990.
Really? All right. Well, I mean, let me put it this way: I like lots of Dre stuff. I like a lot of like Dr. Dre and a lot of his production value, and I like Jay-Z. There's plenty of later kind of post 90s.
I don't dislike Snoop, but I don't particularly care for him. He's not my.
I think he's bad. I mean, I think he's Tupac bad.
So bad he's good?
No, I'm not. I mean, bad meaning bad.
I can't even believe that.
Bad meaning good.
I can't even believe the conversation's going on in Pal Talk. Tupac versus Biggie. Tupac's terrible, guys. Seriously, he's terrible. He's maybe the worst.
I never cared for either one, but Tupac
Biggie's
is terrible.
Biggie's fantastic.
Love Biggie.
Biggie's fantastic. Biggie is potentially
one of the five
best of all time.
Absolutely. Oh, my God.
I agree. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Biggie is not Tupac. He's definitely not a horrible musician, but he's not top five. He's
he
not
was
top
so
10.
Good. His verbal skills
he's not
were
top
so good.
20.
Are you kidding me?
I'm sorry, man.
Hey, agree to disagree. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine.
You know my last one that people would hate me for in that one?
What's that?
Biz Markie. He's garbage, right? He's garbage.
He's like a novelty act.
He's
really?
A good beatboxer.
A lot of people.
No, yeah,
look
I understand
at him
people
being
do.
Like
to me, he's kind of like
garbage.
A novelty act.
Like
I think Just a Friend sums up what he is.
I really. Absolutely. I can't. I got to be honest. Like it's stupid and it's novelty and
nobody
it's juvenile, but. But nobody beats that record. Like, picking boogers and stuff like that. I love
awful.
That stuff.
Garbage.
I love that.
That's
the
garbage.
Vapors? Come on.
Yes, that's garbage.
Come on. Rob, get that on here. I want you picking boogers.
It's like. It's
but
like
again, I grew up listening to it, and I love that stuff.
Slick Rick is a genius. He kind of did that thing
he's
better
great.
With
see,
more class.
See, I hate Slick Rick.
Oh,
come on.
He's great, man. He's great.
I don't like the way that – I don't like his voice. It's
angry. He's great. His new album was great, too.
Oh, I haven't heard any of his new – I stopped listening to after his first album, basically. Nothing else matters.
Yeah, but I mean, you could go on and on. I mean, there's so many examples of this, of, you know.
You guys think Will Smith fans?
People that
I don't mean Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. I mean Will Smith.
Oh, yeah, I love that movie. That movie that he did.
Like, you know, the Men in Black
song. But in all honesty, I love He's the Rapper, I'm the DJ, even though that's not the name of the record. I love that record.
What about Summertime, when they try to get all serious?
No, see, I was out by that point. That first record, like the Freddy Krueger rapping and stuff like that, I'm with it. Nightmare on My Street, I'm in.
He invented a scratch.
Cool, great. Cut, scratch, transform with finesse. And all that mess. By the way, that was Biz Markie. Thank you very much. Biz Markie, thank you.
You know who I never understood, even though I liked him, why he was so popular? Special Ed. Like, he kind of sounds retarded sometimes.
I'm on a mission, man. Come on.
And don't tell me that's the reason he's called that.
No, I'm not going to tell you that's the reason he's called that. I love the song I Got It Made. I love Mission. I love what's Put It in Reverse.
Think about it.
Yeah, I like him. He's good. I don't love him, but I like him.
I think that's a total nostalgia thing. I think if I heard that now, I'd just be like, yeah.
I'll put on
that?
I Got It Made right now. We could sit and listen to it for hours. I could put
I
it on loop
that
for the
bass
rest
is
of the
what's
show.
Good in that. You know, like it could just be a song alone.
But you know
it's
what?
True.
That same bass line was in My Name is D Nice. It's the exact same bass line.
That
and that's not a good song.
That's
a great song, and it's not the same bass line.
Yeah,
either.
I don't think it's anything even similar.
And it's a brilliant song.
It's the same thing. Exact same song.
They're both great songs.
What about Chub Rock?
Man, that's bad.
Yeah,
Fat Boys.
But the Fat Boys aren't a staple band. That's not a staple band. Let's get back. We're taking this totally off topic to say, yo, what stuff sucks? Like, and what is something? I got news for you. I really don't like LL Cool J at all.
You know what? I can't really hate it. He's got a couple of really, really strong songs. like that I'm Bad song.
Mama Said Knock You Out.
Is untouchable. Mama Said Knock You Out. I mean, there's he's a solid musician, but he's got stuff that is just, yeah.
Don't he's care Queen Latifah worthy.
Oh, like, my God. I don't know. She's bad. Like, bad.
I got news for you. I got news for LL. Which is the same thing to me today as Missy Elliott. Same thing.
Also bad.
People love Missy Elliott, and I don't get
Should
her
girls
at all.
Be rapping?
Absolutely. MC Light.
I think Eminem is a fine rapper.
2 inches or a yard, rock harder with a tag in. I ain't too proud to beg. TLC, best rappers ever. Best rap group ever in the history of the world. 2 inches or a yard, rock hard or with it sagging, I ain't too proud to beg. They're talking about man genitals. I'm into them.
Groundbreaking. What about HWA? Hoes with Attitudes, remember that one?
Oh, God, no, I wasn't aware of them.
That's because I'm the only person that bought that for some reason.
Oh, I thought you made them up. Really? I was convinced you were making them up.
Oh, it was real, yeah.
Why is that being
I think it was Dre
right
produced it because I don't have it anymore. But yeah, you were saying.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, what genres are the Smiths considered?
Oh, new wave, I guess.
Yeah, because I don't like them. I don't like them at all.
Isn't new wave like a Britpop type of thing?
No, see, when I think Britpop, see that. All right,
but
this
there
is the problem
there
with
is
genres.
Weird, there is a weird fusion there.
Yeah. This is the problem with genres because like you can say like you can call Depeche Mode new wave or synth pop. You know, like, so there's all these different genres. If you wanted to classify it generally, I would say new wave is the basically the way to classify it mostly. You know, basically 78 through 90, and then after that you can't call something new wave anymore. But.
Well, do me a favor. If I say the Smiths, name four other bands that are in that same category so I know if it's that whole category I hate or just that
The Charlatans.
Band.
Metallica.
I like the Charlatans.
See,
I don't like Metallica.
For some reason, maybe I think more in time, I would say The Cure, New Order, Depeche Mode, The Smiths.
So basically you're just saying gay music.
I love
Susie
and the
music that has gay tendencies.
I like all of those except for the Smiths. Then. So then that would be a case that I like the genre and I don't like that band. Because I can't stand them. I hate Morrissey's voice.
You were listening to The Queen is Dead 2 weeks
ago.
Yes, I
did.
How great it was.
I'm not saying that they...
It's the voice.
I'm not saying that they don't have any good songs. Get out of here. That is the worst Morrissey impersonation ever.
Sounds like Frankenstein.
Because Johnny Marr's a great songwriter and I mean, he's not shredding it up on his axe, but his
That's all I ever looked for. If someone's not shredding, I can't listen to it. I just say, forget it, man. You're not shredding. That's why I don't like Run DMC, except for the Aerosmith song. As long as there's shredding involved, I'm in. Yeah. I want to hear something. I got to know that somebody's got some nice chops. I want to make sure.
Brian brings up Metallica. Love rock and roll music. I cannot stand Metallica.
They're just a bad band.
After a certain period.
I like two of the first three records. I don't like Ride the Lightning.
Me neither.
I like Kill 'Em All, and I like Master of Puppets.
Totally. But after that, and they like
but
encompass
they're
rock.
I want to point out, they're cheesy and bad records. They're embarrassing records.
Totally.
I would put them in a guilty pleasures category.
They're called
but I like
Metallica.
But the music is good. The vocals might be cheesy and bad, but that that metal is great. Come on, the
Four
music
Horses
is great.
Really, I got them on my MP3 player.
Enter Sandman and Unforgiven that's, any worse than like if they had they could have easily been on Battery. You know,
hush,
found
little
battery
don't say your puppets.
I think
Never
The Unforgiven mind. is great. That song.
Yeah, I'm not big on them. Like I said, it's a guilty pleasure. It's a nostalgia thing too. I think too.
But they're the hugest rock band going. You know what I mean? When somebody says
what
rock,
is that?
People say Metallica.
Really?
Definitely. But what does that mean?
Billy Joel's huge too.
But something being huge, does that mean something like Titanic was the hugest movie ever? It's garbage.
I just can't believe that the
Forrest Gump is a really popular movie. It's
I just
huge.
Can't believe
terrible.
That I love rock music and they define rock music now.
I wouldn't say that Metallica defines rock music, but I think that people think that they're Hall of Fame rockers.
Yes. And that's bothers
too bad.
Are they in fact in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, they are.
Already?
Yeah.
They're still in the.
Do you know what year it is?
They're still in the prime of their life.
25. You have to have been recording for 25 years. So bands that came around in 1984.
Baby, don't say a word.
So where's the Smiths?
The Smiths will never be in because it's the Hall of Record Sales. It's the Hall of American Billboard Record Sales is what it should be called.
By the way,
straight rock and roll Hall of Fame.
By the way, Steve LaLarpe was asking if you could pick only one band or singer, which band/singer would it be? He posed the question to
us. Picking for what?
I guess that if you could only pick one band or singer and you could listen to no other music ever again, ever, just this one thing forever.
Just the one band or...
Probably someone with a large library of music. Eclectic.
I'd go with David Bowie as much as I'd hate knocking the Beatles out.
Yeah, I would have to be the Beatles for me. I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine not... I was just about to see. I'm embarrassed that I was going to say I can't imagine living in a world without Slayer, but I don't think I could. I can't listen to Slayer 24 hours.
That's
a day,
too much.
7 days
see,
a week.
See, David Bowie will give me the '60s pop stuff, and then the '70s stuff, and then all the way through. You know, so there's a
it's
million
like mix,
records.
It's like Mix 101.
Exactly, he's like
is.
Jack FM, but in a guy.
When the question was just posed, Ice Queen came to mind.
Really,
love him. Love them.
I do like them a lot, but
and they have a great catalog and huge
I've never exposed myself enough because I've never cared enough. Really? I thought there's some stuff they do. It's fine.
Lady Gaga.
I mean, Fat Bottom Girls are good and all, but
you know, it's sad. I think I know what my answer is, and I don't want it to be this.
New Order,
The Police. It would be The Police. I think that if I had to choose one band and only listen to their music, I'd want it to be The Police.
I think I'd get bored too quickly.
See, I was thinking that I would do it because they would be least boring. Like, that's the problem with just one band and one right. thing is you kind of would get too bored with it.
I think
I've listened
I'd get...
to all of those records so many times in the past.
I understand.
I love
Slayer, and there's too much of the same thing in there. And The Police, I understand. There's diversity in what they do.
I'd get bored with the Beatles faster than I would with The Police. That's why I'm going. With
Even knowing what Sting did after The Police, like you could still listen to that. Like serious,
he did. You know
sure.
what?
Fields of Gold. Like
he had some stuff after that saying, that was actually really good. Yeah. But
I'm
not saying now.
I'm not suggesting that anything post is good because I never took the time to listen.
Dream
to
of the
know.
Blue Turtles album was
fantastic.
Good.
I just know that. I couldn't care less what he did. I'm not going to say what have you done for me lately. I'm not going to James Dean him that if he didn't die young and perfect that he's bad for me. I could still love the past stuff. That's fantastic.
I'll never listen to a Wings album. You know what I mean? That doesn't make the Beatles any less good.
Sure.
You should listen to Venus and Mars. Right.
Okay.
That's why I'd go with David Bowie. There's 11 genres of music per album.
Per song.
I would also go with The Cure too. Cure, great catalog.
I don't know. The Cure are very repetitive to me.
Really?
I love The Cure, but they're very repetitive.
They're great. I think they released one record. They released one record.
Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me.
And they just changed the words.
I think they're that cookie cutter, like you guys think.
Yeah, they're the same band.
Really?
They're the same band as themselves, the record before. And I love every one of their records, mind you.
Well, say Killing of an Arab is the same as like Fascination Street.
I couldn't even say that song.
I think I can. Well, I think I can.
What, Killing of an Arab and Fascination Street? I would call it Killing of an Arab.
It's Disintegration. It's a fantastic record.
I'm talking about songs.
Yeah, same song.
The early part is very different, but once they got to a certain point, it was just that same album.
Really?
From the mid-80s to now, they're putting
the
same album out.
I want you to say, I love them. I got no problems with them.
You guys are nerds.
They're all the same record.
You guys are nerds. Look at you talking about music for the past 45 minutes.
Yeah, well,
we got nerds. You're all nerds.
The nerds? They're playing the Jersey Shore this weekend.
Oh, man, with Screaming Broccoli. It's going to be huge. They're going to be tearing it up at the Tiki Bar. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I guess there's one. I've missed out on a lot of music as a result of having that prejudice of hating you because of your genre-ness. And it's only recently that I'm starting to open up to it. That's what happened with me with Neutral Milk Hotel. And it was maybe 10 years ago or something that I finally said, all right, that's it. I'm going to finally listen to this band. And I gave up on them. I've missed out on a lot of great bands.
Yeah, again,
It's all recorded.
David Bowie.
You never heard of him?
I didn't give David Bowie the chance that he had because Blue Jean was stupid. And because Little China Girl was a horrible song.
I think that's what Fred has going with The Clash, too. I think he's not a big fan of Should I Stay or Should I Go, which I think
and
is boring.
And Rockin' the Casbah, those two bored him, so he's done.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, last week I talked about how I felt there was no new genres of music, that nothing
See,
new.
If we could find a new genre of music, I would have that band, whatever new genre band, like the classic of that genre that I wouldn't hate, like our last bit, I would say I would bring that. And that would be the thing that I would listen to forever, if there was a new genre.
Well, I still stand by it and say that there will not be a new genre of music ever. And but I guess maybe we have some examples this week of...
Well, you challenged us. You said it out there last week and said, hey, can there be new genres of music? And do they exist? And could you make them exist? And I say, yay.
Well, for the record, you said there has been no new genre of music
since the 90s.
Since alternative rock? Is that's the last time? That's the last genre of music?
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of the different types of techno that emerged in the 90s, like
Okay, yeah.
And some of that, you know, like I think since then, because we're now at the end of a decade since then, I think nothing in this, I guess in this century, I don't think there's been any new genre of music that isn't just some sort of a throwback. You know, like people might say, like,
isn't that kind
of
what alternative rock
there's only one
too?
Kind of music, rock. Everything will be rock forever.
But you could have subgenres, though.
Nope.
Isn't that what alternative rock was? It was a throwback to punk. Like, it's kind of punk really didn't break. It never hit.
I mean, look, people called Neil Young the godfather of grunge. But, like, if you listen, and I'm not the hugest grunge fan, but, like, bands like Pearl Jam, that was almost like a new style of music.
If you're going to say that subcategories like stuff like that and that is qualified as new music, then to say that you don't think there's going to be new music, you are being crazy. Then
I don't think there is. I don't think there is. Can you prove me wrong?
Would you like me to prove you wrong?
I would love you to prove me
there's
wrong.
There's this new. Hold on. See, I didn't pull the song up. Hold on. Let me get it ready. There's a new band, and by band I mean genre, of music going on.
I believe there's new music, too, by the way.
Of course there is. Of course there is. They're talking about...
New genres.
New genres. I believe that there's new genres
Completely new style of music.
Absolutely.
You know, I didn't remember who said it, but it was flying by in the chat room. One of the people, and they just said, like, new metal. Like, that whole rap rock and metal thing.
That's been going on for a while.
But that was a new style of music in the past 10 years. You think a new style of music has to come out every 6 months? I mean, like,
that's that new. I think that's been going on since, like, the late 90s, that style of music.
All right.
No, I don't even mean that, though. I mean, like, bands like System of a Down. Haven't they been around, like, for well over 10 years?
We just haven't heard them, you know.
What about Foodcore? Have you ever listened to, like, any Foodcore stuff? Like,
no.
Where all the sounds in the music are just, like, sounds of, like, food? You ever listened to any of that?
You got it?
See, I'm a huge fan of Foodcore. That's like it's like a song that that's a genre
that
of music I really
just is that you going
it's vocals.
No, it's I recorded that's the vocals. This. I recorded this. It's Foodcore. It's just the sounds of someone eating, you know?
It's intriguing.
Are they typically that short? Or do you just eat fast?
No, I mean, I don't know what those guys did. This was just this one particular bit.
I could dance to that.
But like I said,
could you eat to it?
I definitely couldn't eat to it. I'd vomit.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a new style of music. And granted, I think it's reminiscent of like an old Twix commercial. I'm sure.
Like when Mike Patton did a Twix commercial.
Basically. But I think Foodcore is a new thing that's coming. I think that was just like the sounds of eating. I think there's going to be like follow-ups, like the sounds of cooking and stuff like that. I think there's a lot of something.
Well, I found a new style of music.
What's
I
that?
Actually found one that's pretty close though.
In one breath you're saying you don't think it exists, but you found one.
But I don't know how old this recording is. That's
okay.
The thing.
Okay.
So if you have a soundboard, this is the soundboard genre.
It's just Keith on a keyboard.
Exactly. I think it's called like person can't play keyboard. Is the genre?
No, it changes. No.
Wait. I want to hear the full song.
It's only 11 minutes long.
I want to give the genre a chance with one song. it's kind of coming into its own.
Sweeping the Nation soundboard.
How many dogs are barking right now?
Could you explain to me what the concept behind soundboard is in your mind? Could you, like, explain it?
Do you have, like, any... Has the artist written anything about the genre?
What I read, it's, like, seven different separate recordings that were done. Some of them were done without actually hearing what was being recorded. And then all put in reverse and put all together on a nice little soundboard. Anyone can make soundboard.
I'm going to go so far as to say that I think soundboard is more of a...
Go back to that.
I'm going to say sound. I'd say soundboard is more of like a DJing style more than a genre of music, it feels.
A DJing style, you think?
Yeah, yeah, I'm a soundboard DJ, like, and I just throw it all out there type thing. But I guess it's sort of genre-esque.
I think it's a new form of folk jazz.
Genre-esque.
Okay.
It's definitely avant-garde. It's like avant-garde type music.
By the way, the new genre-esque book comes out next week. I'm so psyched to read it.
I can't wait till I'm done with this and go home and take a genre-esque.
Interesting. I like soundboard.
I have also come across a new style of music that I'd like to introduce you to, Keith. It's inspired by large doses of over-the-counter medication. Several different words for it. NyQuil Tussin is what the kids are calling it.
Our buddy Mike from Queens, I thought, really loves NyQuil Tussin.
NyQuil Tussin is big.
It's
big
definitely his favorite.
I think I heard of this. Is this Robo Trip Hop? Is that like...
Some people call it that. Mope Rave, I've heard. My personal favorite is Blechno. So,
I like Blechno.
Yeah, so let's give it a shot.
Sorry, I thought it was the beginning of the show and I was still asleep again.
Is that your voice, Brian?
It's reminiscent of don't you feel as if like you're kind of...
I'm not going to... It's a fine song. It's a fine song. It's a fine 45 record being played at 33. It definitely is. I have no problem with it. But is this a new genre? This is like new age music. This is John Tesh.
Better than that.
It's slower.
It's different than that.
It's slow, Jean Tesh.
Well, I mean, the artists, it's kind of derivative, I will admit. The artists tend to make the songs by taking...
The artists.
they take...
Were you painting while you recorded
they
it?
They take frenetic, like, kind of house techno music, and they just turn it down to, like, half speed.
Nice.
Tony Basil was part of it?
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind.
So did you record this too, or you just stole someone else's song?
What is this song?
I just want you to hear it. This is the original. The artist sampled this a little bit.
Changed it.
Original song is the theme to Mirror's Edge, a popular video game by PS3 about parkour, remixed by the house techno band The Teddy Bears, and DJ Nicotine did the NyQuil Tussin remix.
Wow.
It's
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. As much as I want to stab myself in the eardrums for being here, I'm just going to say it doesn't really feel like a new genre to me. Doesn't feel like a new
slow version's much better than the fast.
I agree. Definitely. I think the artist made a statement with that one.
Well, I
Fred. Come
well,
on, Brian, help us out.
That was a bunch of hogwash.
Obviously.
I mean, he should have just recorded nothing and went on with his whole bit.
But exactly what we did is it's the Brian mailing it in for a music bit. That's what happens when we do those.
It's like using someone else's pre-recorded thing and just recording a happy song over it.
Yeah, basically, exact same thing.
I've come up with a new genre of music that has – it's called life sound. My new music is called Life Sound.
Ooh.
And what it is just sounds you hear in your everyday life. But within Life Sound, like rock and roll, there are different, you know...
Rock and roll.
Sub-genres. And now...
Please tell me you have multiples.
I do have multiples.
Of course you do.
And I got a little game for you. You guys got to name this Life Sound.
GameCore!
I love GameCore. Right.
This is a... Now, what I did... It's a recorded sounds for my life, but what I did is I put effects on them. So, and I have two songs, one with effects, one without.
Okay.
You know, so you're going to try to guess what life sound this is.
Chris shaving his penis.
Now, all of that, every sound there is one thing, or there are multiple sounds?
Every sound is one particular thing.
One life sound.
One life sound. Correct. Okay.
I have it. I totally have it.
Me too.
What's that life sound?
Fred, Keith, should I be nice and let you go first?
Let's say it at the same time.
No.
It's Fred snoring as he sleeps.
Ooh, no. I'm going to say it's Fred brushing and rinsing his teeth and spitting it out in the sink.
Ooh. You got something?
Using a razor on your face.
Ooh, good. You got something, Rob? Well, here is that same exact song without any effects on it. And we'll see if you guys guessed it right.
It's the cat.
You scratching the cat?
Cat scratching himself.
Oh, cat scratching.
Cat with a very large beetle in his ear or something.
With a weird baby voice. I like the music video.
Play your song again with the effect.
With the effect,
I might be able to listen to that.
This is cat scratching itself. That effect.
I could listen to this.
Really?
I could drive around listening to that.
So that's my first life
into
sound.
A wall.
And that
says the guy that had 3 Mike Patton CDs in constant rotation.
And I no, not in rotation. I bought them and wanted to like them and couldn't.
And that genre of life sound is called Critter.
Nice. So nice. I'm a big fan of Critter.
So here's my...
So you invented a whole style.
Yes.
Like you had a whole different idea. He's
got his own
sub-genres.
So here is another life sound. See if you guys could get this life sound that has effects on it.
Oh, it's the cat again. I like it.
The cat smoking a bomb.
Irish Curse has it. It's awful sounds. Just awful sounds.
Any guesses?
I have none.
I can't even believe it that now everyone seems to think that's toothbrushing or rinsing your mouth out with Listerine is what everyone's saying. I'm saying dishwashing.
Yeah, I have to agree because I think that was a fork falling in the sink.
Well, here
I was going to say dishwashing, not dishwasher.
By the way, Casey's guess was ball shaving.
But, oh, that's a good one, too. Here is my life sound without any effects.
Is that a mimeograph machine from 1978?
That's my second guess.
Oh, it's Fred on that. If you want your... It's dishwasher. That's the sound of someone that doesn't use palm olive trying to get the grease off. I love that Fred is sitting here rocking back and forth like he's trying to dance, like it is music.
Trying to?
Any guesses?
It's dishwasher.
It's called Chorecore. It's all of my chores that I do in one day. Can you guess what the chores are?
Oh, all mixed together?
All mixed together.
I heard these cleaning windows in there.
These are all my chores mixed together in one day.
Was there a sprinkler in there?
Can you guess? Well,
Irish Curse, by the way, is longing for Yanni and the pan flute that we were listening to earlier.
Well, I do four chores in there, and the one chore is dusting, which is that's the Windex bottle.
Okay.
That vacuum.
You got the weirdest vacuum in
the
world.
Yeah. Future vacuum. What's future music?
And then those two clinks doing the dishes.
They're called Asian Americans. Don't call them that.
Also, dusting.
All right.
With the Windex.
What's the fourth one?
The fourth one is going to come in the middle of the song.
Fred dusts.
I totally dust every day. I have to. More dishes.
The song should be called House Bitch. That's Irish Curse, not me. I wish it was me.
And here comes the fourth chore, which I hate doing. Kitty litter box.
Scrubbing your wife's vagina.
That's the kitty litter box right there.
Ooh.
What do you do with it? Ready? You just take the logs and just bang them against
the
wall?
You have to shovel to actually clean the stuff out?
And here it is.
That's, the dishes.
This is the affected one.
We got this one.
Hey, I'm tired of this one.
Life sounds.
I'm going to say that's a new genre of music. I probably wouldn't listen to it. But
Chorecore? You don't like Chorecore?
I like the originality of it. I like the originality of it, but it's probably not my cup of tea.
How is it different from food rock?
Oh, I don't like that either.
Oh, right.
I don't like that at all. That was called mailing it in. That's what I do.
If we had to vote, which why would we? But if we did, I have to admit.
I vote for Obama because I want change. Okay, I'm not gonna lie to you. I want change and freedom.
I think I can't get.
Actually, I vote for the guy from Braveheart because I want freedom. Freedom.
I never saw that movie, and I refuse to.
Yeah, you should. It's stupid.
I love Rage Against the Machine.
I would have to say that, honestly, that horrible piece of crap video game song is brilliant when it's slowed down.
It is. It really – that's where I got the – I heard this months ago accidentally. Like, I accidentally played the commercial slow so I could see things, and my head exploded because the song was so great.
But are you voting for the best new genre or which thing was the most song-like?
I'm not voting at all because it was all terrible. At least yours had some semblance of rhythm. Fred had an initial idea, and I just said, you know what? All these ideas I'm going to throw together because I don't know what to do.
What I will say is of the four things that were presented to you today, none of them are really original. I think they all prove Keith's point.
If I take them home and string them all together, some DJ on WFMU will play it tomorrow.
Yeah, if you took all of them, I'd say again they're all derivative of something else, and it goes back to Keith's point that there
food
is no
core?
Food. Yeah, well, I told you it was a Twix commercial.
I was thinking you stole that idea from me with the microphone song that I made that one time.
And Life Sounds. You don't think Life Sounds, given a better DJ,
a better treatment,
and a better treatment, it could come up with just sounds that have effects on them that don't have anything to do with an instrument and just
yeah,
play
you're
that
nuts.
Over.
In 10 years, everyone's gonna be listening to Blechno. It's that easy. You slow down house music,
but that's all it is. It's just slow down. Yeah. Again, it's not.
Hey, man, if you want to call, what's that genre where you mix two different dissonant types of you mush them together?
you mashup,
mix up mashups, whatever
mashups. Yeah. If that's a genre of music, Blechno can do it.
I don't think it's a genre of music. I think it's mixing two genres of music. I don't understand how that's a new genre. They're just
by the way
two pre-existing genres. Put together.
Ustreamer 30347 is asking, when does Fred put the sound of him dropping X-Lac to fit into his jeans? We're going to Life Sounds.
That's my next one. That's my next Life
Sound.
That would
sound good. Yeah, again, all of it was derivative of something else. All of it was derivative of something else.
Did you?
No more Life Sound. That's it.
You know, I didn't want to be nerdy about this, Keith, but I never got to cram in my Schoenberg quote where he came in with this concept of style versus idea. And I think that's where, like, whenever these conversations happen about genre and where it comes from, that's kind of it. He uses the metaphor of, like, a wrench. The idea.
I'm sorry. I just saw that. I can't.
You saw the word nanomachine flash before your eyes?
Right. How could you not? To Brian saying he didn't want to nerd it up. It threw my concentration. I know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
He has the metaphor of pliers, where the idea of what pliers were, you know, you have a pivot in between two little short ends and two larger ends that you can grasp on that gives you all this kind of leverage. That tool in some sort of distant future we may never use again, but the idea behind that is sort of a life-changing idea. It reinvents the wheel. You're never going to get rid of that. And style is just another type of genre. Style and genre is just like different types of pliers. What? Are you really looking for the plier idea over and over again? That's rock and roll.
Can I say what you're saying, kind of put it slightly differently? You listen to Best in Show Radio, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Best in show, let them start your day. You should listen live, the Fantasy Cavalcade. Hear them talk, but why don't you chime in so toll free? It's the hottest of all lines. 877-744-6405. The hottest of all lines. 877-744-6405.
Have something you want to share with the rest of us? Can't make it into the Hear Us Talk chat room for your favorite shows, but still want to share your opinion? Then come hang out at the Hear Us Talk Radio Forum. The forum is the place to catch up with the latest news and discussions on your favorite Hear Us Talk radio shows, plus with additional categories covering the things you see, hear, taste, love, hate, and everything else. You can click and make the entire Hear Us Talk listening family know that you are right about everything, or at least die trying. Check out the Hear Us Talk forum at hearustalk.com/forum and let everyone know what you have to say.
This is Dukes, and when I'm not listening to Best in Show Radio, I'm robbing cheese doodles from Sunoco on Bloomingdale Road. Yeah.
To the club, it's like, where's your ID? In the store to get a blunt, like, where's your ID? We getting searched in the front.
Yo,
like,
where's my ID? Yo, where's my ID? It's bestinshowradio.com here on Heroes Talk. Wait, what's going on? What? I was on a Duke. I was on a Duke thing. Yo, I spit crazy knowledge. I go to Bloomingdale Road. Yeah, wait, that was someone else. See, I rip off everybody. Bestinshowradio.com here on Heroes Talk. Good stuff. Wow. That was, I like Dukes. When's he coming back in here to spit?
Anytime you want, man.
For the past 20 minutes? Could he go over the crappy music that we played in here for the past 20 minutes instead?
I actually thought mine and yours were good. Keith Bry, phoning it in.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah, that's always going to be the case.
You know what I mean? Phoning
musical
in.
Artists.
Actually do things.
And like guys. And guys that just like sit around and like watch TV and play video games.
It almost makes me feel like, man, I did like an hour of work and I could have got away with 5 minutes.
Hour?
I did an hour. I did two songs. I had to put effects on all of them.
It actually
you know?
Took me maybe 3 or 4 hours.
I was going to say, it took me like 3-4 hours.
Oh, really? Oh, then I don't feel so
to
bad.
To steal that, it took me 3 or 4 hours to make that happen.
I want you to understand.
I don't feel bad
I want
at all.
You to understand that Food Core, I had to actually take the sounds of eating and mix it together to do it. I didn't put effects on well, I put effects on one thing, on one burp.
I recorded two songs, you know, edited them, put effects on one and no effects on the other. It took me
You could do your chores in an hour? That's impressive to me. That's impressive. It's Best in Show, Best in Show Radio here on Heroes Talk, the Magical Wonderland, Fantasy Cavalcade, all that stuff. The home of the DJ New Style show. You heard that fine hotline song earlier by our buddy DJ New Style. Tuesday nights here on Heroes Talk. Be sure to be here to check it out, 9 p.m. Friday.
Sorry.
I was going to say Friday nights you could check out The What Show, 9:30 p.m. That's tomorrow. What? The What Show tomorrow night. It's good, amazing stuff. What? Every Wednesday we'll be doing, we do movie nights here with our buddy Crazy Monk. And, I don't know, there's always stuff going on. There's always something happening at Heroes Talk, HeroesTalk.com.
With all this music going around, I'm trying to fight the urge to just randomly, off the cuff, get a bunch of people involved in something that they never, ever even agree to or heard of. Will there be a Heroes Talk Christmas CD this year?
Oh, yeah, it's done. Absolutely. Heroes Talk Christmas CD. Obviously, it's already been, so you can pre-order it now over at HeroesTalkChristmas.com.
I just like deciding things for people and forcing them into it.
And by deciding things for people, meaning Ken, please record 10 songs so this could happen, is basically what you're doing?
No. I'm going to remix Fred's stuff, so he only needs to do 9.
Oh, okay. Okay, good.
Son of a...
Awesome. All sorts of wonderful things happen here for Heroes Talk all the time. And, I guess all sorts of wonderful things happen with Best in Show as well. About a week or so ago, there was a discussion that went on between Keith and I.
Wait a minute! You guys don't talk. Outside of the show.
Well, that's true. We don't actually speak outside of the show, but we communicate via text message. Obviously, we don't. We couldn't possibly ever communicate with words that weren't written. Actually, like voices talking would be just too much. So we texted each other a couple of weeks back, and we were having a conversation about our show meeting, about a meeting that we were going to have for a show that wound up being canceled because Keith couldn't make it. And I didn't find out until late that this meeting was canceled, so I expressed a little distaste about it being canceled and said, oh, man, I can't believe that I wound up rushing home to make this meeting, and this meeting actually wound up getting canceled.
I'm sure that's exactly how you put it.
I
know what meeting you're talking about, and uh-huh. I think I'm part of the reason why it got canceled.
Whoa, well, this is okay.
Well, because I think the meeting happened, like, a day or two after the time change, because we had a time change here in New York. You know, we had to pull the clocks back.
It's only in New York, though.
You know what I mean?
It was a New York specific time.
Staten Island Standard Time. Staten Island Standard Time leaps forward.
Just in area code 718. That's
so
it.
Our normal 9 o'clock meeting was going to be at 10 o'clock, and I think I might have fell asleep for it.
We want to say goodnight to our friends in New Jersey who have to go to sleep for work tomorrow.
I honestly fell asleep because of the hour that we
that was not the meeting that did get missed. Although maybe that
it's
was
the
why
same
you
meeting.
Missed.
It's the same meeting.
It's the same meeting.
I think it's the same
that's
meeting.
That's really why you missed that one?
Yes. I swear to God.
I just assumed you were just high.
No.
You were just high.
I fell asleep. It was really dense.
Right, because you were high. Like a person.
Chris missing the meeting tonight because he slept. You missing that one. You were both high.
Right. Oh, man, I wish I was high. No, you know what it was, man? I was full from gorging myself with food to record a food course song, so I had to take a nap on the couch.
But so you actually – you were so enraged that you sent Keith a text saying
–
Yes, that's
I'm
exactly what happened.
I'm up. No one else is up. I should be sleeping. You got your hour back. You came late to the show today.
I totally did. I bitched about the fact that I raced home to get to a meeting and it didn't and it wasn't happening. And that was it. It was don't get me wrong. It was me being a bitch because hi, my name's Chris. I'm on Best in Show. I bitch. But I complained a little bit about it, and Keith really took my text a little more brutally than I intended it.
Oh, you complained via text message.
Via text, right? And it brought up the whole thing, and then Keith, then in response, hit me back pretty hard. He
via text message.
Via text message.
These guys are
So, and it just got into the whole thing of just
were they
like,
in all caps?
No, we weren't yelling. No one was yelling. It didn't get that bad. But it was.
We're not animals.
Yeah. Were but, you guys still abbreviating just no. furiously?
But the thing. The
I am not LOLing right now, I told him.
Yeah. The thing that was as crazy about, though, is the fact that, that I was kind of more. Like, I was bitching, but I was kind of breaking balls.
OMG, Keith! What's up? Yeah. What? WTF, Keith! OMG!
My point was that it wasn't like.
Colon underscore.
Well, I wouldn't put an underscore in. It wasn't serious, dude. We were just friends.
Less than three.
STFU and let them talk.
Sorry.
I wish we could. I don't even remember what the text messages were at this point.
Oh, you had to save them.
I know. I have the text message.
Like, oh,
please read them. It was Keith. Hi, buddy. How you doing? Screw you, Chris. You think I don't got time for you? Go to hell.
That's about how it went, yeah.
Something along those lines. Yeah. I had it a week ago. It's my phone doesn't save. You can't save text that long on my phone, and I get a million texts a day.
Wow.
Popular. Yeah.
How long was it? Was it a couple of...
like 4 or 5 days. But I guess
4 or 5 exchanges.
Right. The thing was just the fact, the idea was the fact that it's just... trying to communicate with someone via text and the misunderstanding that happens as a result of texting and the intent that gets out there.
I always want to misunderstand my text. Like I got a text today saying, text from Brian saying, can you pick me up at 7:30? And I totally wanted to misinterpret that for just like, don't pick me up at all. You know, I hate, like texting is great for menial things like hellos and keeping in touch, but it is not great for actually expressing.
I have the text.
Oh, do you really?
Okay.
Texting
good.
Is not good for expressing opinions, serious opinions.
See, if we get into it, I can explain, but I don't want to bring up any kind of personal information, so I don't want to explain why I was getting offended
by
them.
You were in a bad mood. You had something else going on. There was something important. There was a real reason why you couldn't make it to the meeting.
And basically, Chris was saying how he left something that was pretty important, and that's not what he was saying. I was taking it that he was saying this thing.
I have most of the text. It cuts it off. The thing is, my first text was something to the effect of, oh, the meeting is canceled? Great. I'm glad I left this. I'm glad I rushed home from this important appointment to make it.
Bitch. And I was taking that, like, I hated the idea that I felt that I'm being blamed for him leaving this important thing.
Exactly what was happening.
This important thing now. So my response was, if I can't do it, I can't do it. But I don't like suggesting that my priorities are out of whack.
This was just 2 weeks ago. This was 2 weeks ago, right?
But in actuality, my point was, I'm glad that I rushed home from this thing for something that was canceled. Mm-hmm. Is what my point was. My issue.
You guys fighting on text right now between each other. By the way, no, I'm just curious. No, you're both typing furiously on your phone.
That's like I just ran to the store to find out it's closed. You know?
I was bitching that I was not notified. Yeah. I was bitching that I came home to do something and I wasn't notified. I was not bitching that Keith had something important going on. And now you're texting me and you're going to bounce it.
No, I just went into my old text. I did find this. I sent this to Chris. I just walked past. Blank, blank. He was so immersed in a book, so I had a big decision to make. I chose to pass him by.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, but okay.
You should have texted me. Oh, no, I was asleep.
Chris, you were backhandedly insulting Keith intentionally with that text. I don't know if you're trying to make apologies about it now, but you were definitely, thanks a lot, Keith, for screwing me over and making me run home to come to this meeting that you're freaking out on.
I am not even coming close to saying that I was not complaining about the fact that I had to rush home for something. I'm 100% was. But my complaint was, couldn't you have told me not to be here? Consider that's what the thing was. It wasn't, hey, what you're doing right now sucks and you shouldn't be doing that. My point was, dude, you should have let us know. You should have let us know. Right. That's what my complaint
was. I'm going to read them now, and I'm not going to read exact stuff, but awesome. Good thing I rushed home from this
for my appointment.
And my response is, dude, if I can't do it, I can't do it. And I certainly wouldn't have told you to rush home from that. So maybe we shouldn't do these meetings going forward, especially considering the fact
No, finish.
Especially considering the fact that it can be done through email.
Slow it down, champ. Can a brother express a lack of appreciation for crappy notification without you throwing a hissy fit?
It's not a hissy fit. I just don't appreciate it being suggested that I somehow have my priorities off because you are leaving this.
I'm not suggesting your priorities are off, maniac. I'm suggesting I rushed home for nothing because I did, in fact, rush home for nothing. Your priorities are fine. Your notification skills suck a D. Lighten up, Francis.
The next one I have is then you saying, are we on for tonight? So I'm guessing that,
that was
the
a
end
week
of it.
Later. A week later. Or a couple days later, seeing if we were having a meeting.
You are women.
Why complain to him?
You are girls.
Why not complain to someone who cares?
Oh, true, true. He was the person who canceled the meeting, and his way of canceling the meeting was to send my work email when I wasn't at work an email.
I'm telling you, and I didn't even send it to anyone else because I always have issues with Gmail. Like, you'll see that my half the time Brian is forwarding messages I sent, or Chris is forwarding because I hit reply to instead of reply to all.
Sure.
All the time. So I sent it to his work email, and so nobody knew what was going on.
I never even...
You were asleep.
I was asleep. I never even got a message from Keith that our meeting was going to be canceled. Did he cancel it with you, Chris? Did he say it was going to be canceled? He never even said that to you before?
These texts would have never happened if he canceled it.
Yeah, they didn't know what was going on. So as far as they knew, they were on a meeting. I was thinking it was canceled. I was thinking I alerted everyone that it was canceled, and I didn't. They were on wondering where me and you both were.
You know what, Keith? It actually is your fault. Because you were canceling the meeting. I fell asleep unintentionally.
You're blaming you falling asleep.
On him. Is that what you're doing?
I fell asleep unintentionally. Keith actually canceled the meeting and tried to get in touch with everybody, but failed to.
I don't think he tried, actually.
He said that he texted everybody, that he emailed everybody.
I replied to Chris's work email at 5:30 instead of replying to everyone's all emails.
Yeah, Keith is in the wrong. Keith was definitely in the wrong. 100%. You have the right to bitch it.
Again, the idea wasn't that, hey, was I allowed to do it for whatever reason, because whatever we do, we're going to do no matter what, whether we're allowed or not. My point was there was a whole misconception in this communication via text because you never understand what people's intent is and what they're saying. He took my insult in one way when I meant my insult in an entirely different, less painful way than it was being taken.
I took it as a grade A insult. It was a grade B insult.
Oh, no. C. It was a grade C. I was complaining.
It was
dude,
a C, all right.
I was saying, dude, why couldn't you let me know about this? And you were taking it as me saying, dude, whatever you're doing isn't as important as this meeting. And that's that. You know, that would be ridiculous to say that because nothing is ever as important as a meeting. We know that. That's a given.
Look, man, it's always been my complaint that text messages are inefficient. They take too long to do. They certainly are bad at communicating emotions.
Emotions and intent, definitely.
Right. And you definitely have to be very, very careful when you're dealing with women or men like this when you're trying to communicate any kind of thing that has even the possibility of emotions. You guys are the worst at that stuff. Both you, Chris, and you, Keith, are horrible at being sensitive and getting like a little frustrated and uptight about being wronged in some way, like being dissed or being clowned. I think we talked about me clowning you at length from other shows before, Chris. Right?
I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean clowning me?
I was shaking my head yes because. My biggest concern with anything, I could let any kind of wrongdoing or anything roll off my back. I have a big problem with thinking that, like, somehow things are not even or unfairly biased against me, and that's and no matter what it
give
is.
Give me
in
an
any
example.
Relationship
I got a perfect give example. An example. And it had to do with a text that I sent to Keith once. It was with our Labor Day show. Do you remember that?
So this is two times now that Keith gets a text and he overreacts to what's being sent to him.
Yes, if you recall, Chris.
Chronic. That's what we call that. You're a chronic.
You're pretty bad too, man. You definitely got to handle both of these guys with kid gloves, and kid gloves are not. You can't wear them on text, basically. It's just impossible.
It's hard to text with
kid gloves. I will say that Brian does have a point. That's right. If you think that you're going to hang out in my house and get involved in a fight between me and my wife while you're pissing your pants, you just can't do it with me. I'm weird like that. You have to take kid gloves.
I didn't do that.
No, you didn't. He did.
Oh, really?
I never did that.
Well, all right. I think you mixed. You might have mashed it up.
All right, right.
No, no, he peed himself in my house too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right. Didn't.
Yeah, I have. We have a picture of your urine-soaked pants.
Oh. Urine-soaked pants. Oh. Urine-soaked.
To come to Brian's defense, I think he was urinating, and some of it made it down the leg of his pants instead of
the zipper. The tip of the zipper on my pants was wet.
That paled in comparison to you getting involved with a fight between.
Yeah, the fact that my wife and I
remember that. Yeah. No, I can't claim any.
You were pissed drunk.
You got right in the middle of it doing it. I was Keith, like, what is he doing?
Keith even said to me, he's like, wow, what the hell's Brian thinking?
I have the reenactment in my head if you want to know. Brian, I'm upstairs. Brian comes upstairs with Chris and his wife. I was upstairs with whoever. And is saying, well, here's what it is. You, pointing to Chris's wife, we're a little sensitive without this, this, and this. And you, like, basically telling them each what they did wrong.
People were Dr. Filling.
Wait a second.
Drunk Brian decided to mediate unsolicited.
This is not true. I wasn't doing it just to Chris and Chris's wife. That was part of a rant that I had been going on all day about everyone who lives in Staten Island being a baby.
I understand, but we were in the middle of a fight at that moment.
That might be the whiskey that clouded his vision on the
We were in the middle of fighting, and you decided to apply your hypothesis about Staten Island to the two of us in the middle of our fight.
Such a pussy.
We actually almost had a non-explicit show until that point.
Basically,
it's as if
Brian saw two black guys in a fight and decided to go up to them and say, "Let me tell you my theory on black people in fighting."
Yeah.
All right. Well, Chris and I went to a meeting once to set up the Labor Day event, and things went wrong, I guess, is the nicest way to put it.
The newest one?
Haywire.
Yeah, yeah. Things started.
Kablooey, I think, was the actual word that you used.
It was the day of. Maybe
two days before.
It was quickly approaching. It was at the point when it was kind of impossible for us to make changes that we had to make as a result of what we learned.
Oh,
there.
like cancel it and move it to someplace else? Yeah, we couldn't have done that on Thursday when Walter Sobchak and Erka Durka were in a plane flying to the place at that time.
We started spazzing out. And one of the things is we had an idea about a bit that, for reasons I won't discuss in great detail, we couldn't do the bit at the show. So I texted Keith on my way, like walking to the subway or something like that, hey, come up with a new bit that's going to be the central part of our show. Since then, apparently, he had been in conversations with Keith, and he texted back like,
I'm going to say, Bri, right off the bat, before you say what Keith said, douchey text. Douchey text.
Come up with a new bit.
Not come up with a new bit. We can't do this bit. Have any other ideas? Not come up with a bit.
Well, I was suggesting that we should come up with. You want me to come up with the actual text that I came up with?
You, really?
Yeah.
You have that?
It was. I'm sure I have it here somewhere.
I bet it's more douchier than you can even imagine.
Well,
subsequently, I was thinking that this bit will not be functional as a result of what's happening here.
While he's looking for it, unless you have it immediately.
No, go ahead.
Basically, what happened is I, at the time, was really busy, I think, and
you were talking to Chris about the
no. I mean, in general, and I couldn't help out with as much as I wanted to.
Pink lemonade in those water bottles,
and, exactly. And Brian basically was saying to me something along the lines of, "Well, you know, since this is what you could probably." This is
okay, wait a second. You're ruining the story. I hadn't gotten into it yet.
Then please,
when I said, "Hey, we got to come up with a different idea." His response is, really? That's what you're concerned about at this point? What he was basically saying is, we've got bigger things to worry about than what bit we're going to do.
Right.
And
we were he was concerned with whether the entire event was going to fall apart.
Happen.
Right. Which is a valid concern. But, I mean, at this point, there's a couple of things that we can control, and there's some that we can't. Let's concentrate on this particular bit. On this particular item that we're dealing with. And I guess my text was taken incorrectly. I suggested, like, no, but this is this is what we can control. And his response is, why don't you try to figure out on your own and not figure out what I can control? You can go.
Are you reading that?
No.
Are you reading that?
Wait, time out. Do you see what you did there, though? You put inflections on text. And that is the crux of this entire thing.
Yeah.
putting inflections on things and putting and saying what words need to be.
You're scoring it. You're actually being an actor and putting your own take on those lines.
Which is exactly what Keith did to me when I was saying when I was making a little joke. I was ribbing him.
But guess what? Brian can read the text, and he can read the text, and that text could come off like so, you know, negative and bad. I need to know the words
any other way.
I don't think I wrote, "Why don't you?" I think I wrote to him, "Don't tell." Oh, no. He said, "But yeah, isn't this what you can help out with right now?" Basically meaning
what
we
can control.
But that's not what you wrote. You wrote what you can help out with. And I took it to mean I mistakenly thought he was...
Wait, so you put the accent on you can
exactly.
Do.
And I thought Brian was saying, look, what I read that to mean is, look, man, you haven't been able to help us with half of what you should with this. So why don't you just do the one thing you can do? That's what I took it to mean. So my response to him is, don't tell me what I can or cannot help out with.
And Brian's intent was... Hey, this is the one thing that the collective we can handle.
And I don't believe I said you. I believe I said we. And he did take it off as – and oh, man.
I'm going to pull back the curtain even more on this whole thing.
Brian was the most irritating human in the world the week before that show.
Well, I think this is the reason why I think we can't collaborate on bits outside of the show for some reason. I really think our egos get in the way and we really can't. The fact that we communicate an hour outside of the show blows my mind. Blows my mind. And we're productive. And we're actually productive in that 1 hour. It blows my effing mind. Because I don't know. I can't see me writing a bit with Brian sitting down.
Yeah, come on. It'll be fun.
I
come over. We'll pee on each other. We'll share a beer. It'll be great.
What it comes down to is there's all sorts of communication issues between us because of the limitations of text and whatnot.
And
but,
you guys are women.
But to Brian's point, there is a certain aspect of bitchiness amongst us. And maybe it's the fact that it's just we're bitches. Maybe it's the symptom of the fact that we're Staten Island people and it's a Staten Island centric thing. Maybe.
You and your wife got to get over it.
Maybe that has something to do with it, which ironically, as a Ustreamer is pointing out, by the way, how many Staten Island t-shirts does Fred have? Could he wear a different one every single week that you always have a Staten Island shirt on?
I've been wearing the same one every week. Oh, this is the only one I have.
I just find it ironic that I brought up Staten Island and I look and saw that on the screen in front of me. But I think that maybe there's a solution for that, or maybe there will be a change to that as time goes on and as wow. Thanks, Biggie. Appreciate it, Biggie. Maybe things will change when Best in Show ceases to be a Staten Island based show. Something that we probably need to bring up now that it's just about 11 o'clock and it's time to end the show. The fact that next week will be the last episode of Best in Show broadcast from Staten Island, as our show will be moving and will be moving to... Did you find the text and now you're showing it to him?
Don't try to figure out what I can or can't help with.
Well, that's what I said. That's what I said. I want to see what you wrote before that.
Oh, messed up. Well, again, these things, we're not going to have to worry about this because now we'll be more professional. Now we'll be kinder, nicer people.
I read
more?
That as, don't think about what I can and can't.
Well, oh, that's how I meant it.
That's how he meant it, definitely.
Oh, no, you didn't, I think, was his next text.
Do you have when I said talk to the phone?
So,
wait a minute. Where are we doing the show from?
Best in Show will be moving.
Sweet and Vicious.
To
as Keith Fu said, we're being offshored, and Keith's going to answer the phones.
Yeah.
Best in Show, can I help you?
I guess maybe the fact that Biggie started screaming out in there makes all the sense in the world, because okay. Best in Show is moving to Brooklyn.
What?
Best in Show will be broadcasting live from our buddy Brian's kitchen. In 2 weeks. 2 weeks from tonight, we will begin. No, 2 weeks from tonight is Thanksgiving, isn't it?
Do you remember 3 weeks from tonight. Brian had the flea problem?
Oh, it's still there.
And, like, the squirrels. Like, it's like bad news over there. I'd rather go to, like...
Your house?
Okay.
Baghdad.
I'd rather go to your house.
But you're still on Staten Island, though. You're still on Staten Island. We're not gonna solve our problem, our bitchiness issue that we have.
It's true. Okay.
You know what? I'm going to say that maybe this is a temporary solution. We're going to be there for a short time. Because the fact is, and I guess the crux of the matter of what we should be bringing up, is the fact that we will no longer be doing the show from Shea Gigs. our buddy Bob G, our producer for the past year and change, is going to be taking a little break, taking a hiatus from Best in Show, and he's not going to be producing our program for hopefully a short period of time, and we'll see what happens with that when he comes back to the show. So next week, next Thursday, will be our friend Robert G's final, or hopefully temporary final, but outro, temporary outro from Best in Show. Next week will be the last your last production gig for us for God knows how long a period of time. We'll see what happens with that. That's kind of all up in the air. So as a result, next week we will be doing the Bobby G roast here on Best in Show, and we'll do our appreciation for
roast
for,
Bobby G.
As Keith Fu said, you know, I'm just hiring a day laborer to produce now.
Yeah, basically.
It's a lot cheaper. $80 was my time.
I'm outsourcing. He's outsourcing.
So are we going to have a big chair for Rob to sit in while we roast him next week? Or?
I don't know, Rob. Do you have a big chair to sit in? Yeah, it's something that obviously needed to be mentioned, something that we needed to talk about and wanted to do it. And we'll show appreciation for our buddy next week. And hopefully it's not too long of a break.
It'll be a new era in radio.
That's it. It's a new... Oh, man. Brian's a producer again. Jesus.
Kind of like the old era.
Chris. He's busy. He talks less.
Oh, good. Perfect. Well, thanks, guys. We appreciate you hanging out with us tonight, being part of this magical wonderland that was Best in Show. Special thanks to Turk Broda ? For calling in to being a part. And special thanks to all of you for just getting involved and being part of this amazing thing that we do. Yeah, hockey socks, steamroller, roll over your face. We'll see you guys on the radio. 88. Peace.
My Detroit players, Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn. Dead right, if they head right, Biggie there, and I. Papa been smooth since days of under rules.
Never. You're gonna tell me that Tupac deserves to be mentioned in the same breath as this guy? Go to hell.
Girls want to us, wanna do us, screw us. Yeah, Papa and Pop, close like Starsky and Hutch, stick to clutch. Yeah, I squeeze three at your cherry M3, bang every MC easily.
Honestly, I see you too. I see you too.com. Check
it out. You take a flaunt it, that Brooklyn bullshit, we on it.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. I guess it's why they're broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. I guess it's why they're broken, you're so mean.
I put O's in NY onto DKNY. Miami, D.C., prefer Versace. All Philly hoes know it's Mosquito. Every cutie with the booty or the coochie. Now who's the real dude? Meaning who's really the shit? The niggas ride dicks. Frank White push the stick called the Lexus. LX, 4.5. Bulletproof glass tips if I want some ass. Gon' blast sweet stuff. Ask questions like, that's how most of these so-called gangsters pass. A nigga rapping about blunts and bras, tits and bras, menage a trois, sex and expensive cars, and still leave you on the pavement. Condo paid for, no car payment, at my arraignment, built for the plaintiff. Your daughter's tied up in the Brooklyn basement, face it, not guilty, that's how I stay true. Richer than richer, so you niggas come and kick.
Come on. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your fleshy ways. Guess it's why they're broken, you're so mean. Baby, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess it's why they're broken, you're so mean.
I can fill you with real millionaire shit. That's cargo, my cargo. 160, swift me. Wreck it by your new one. Your crew run, run, run. Your crew run, run. I know you sick of this name brand. Nigga with flows, girl, say he's sweet like licorice. So get with this, nigga, it's easy. Girlfriend, it's a bitch.
Call me round 10. Come through. Have sex on rough. That's perfect. Come up to your job. Hit you while you're working. For certain. Papa freaking. Not speaking. Leave that ass leaking. Like rapper Jumbo. Tell them home. Take their clothes off slowly. Kill them with the force like Obi. Dick black like Kobe. Watch me roam like Kobe. Lucky they don't owe me. Where to say show me. Homie.
Homie. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your fleshy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your fleshy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess it's why they're broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess it's why they're broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess it's why they're broken, you're so
mean. Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.